It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running for this 16th day of June, 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb cube. That, of course, is also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in the middle and the great globe around, and whatever time it is when you're listening, if you're listening to the podcast instead of the live broadcast. If you wander over and pick yourself out a screen name and a password, if you never have before, well, you'll be greeted in the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza chat room by the likes of Anatole and Otto and Roger and Squeaky, with more to wander by, I'm sure, as the program continues. You'll also be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. He is capably assisted by his trusty pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve, from Georgistan. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob. It is Trump-tanic Tuesday on the Horn. This is a day for taking note of, if not necessarily celebrating, manifestations of titanic right-wing intellect, and with occasional forays over into things that aren't necessarily right-wing, but are nonetheless of a level of vicious stupidity to warrant inclusion in our Tuesday broadcast. Yes. Sparky noting in the chat room, according to MSNBC, the maggots are already lining up for Nitwit Nero's Corona party in Tulsa, despite the fact that health officials in Tulsa are begging and pleading, please, 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 don't do this to us. We're going to get real, real sick because of this. But, you know, he doesn't give a fuck. Let's see. Yeah, 4 minutes into the program, and I've already dropped my first F-bomb. That may be a, that may prove to be a harbinger of things to come. Every program here at The Horn does begin with gratitude, because we're not in the business of selling you anything. Everything here is free. The chat room is free. The live broadcast is free. The podcast is free. We charge absolutely nothing for nothing, because we want as many people to be able to get the program as want it, however it is that they want it. And so it is the small and merry band of subscribers and a la carte contributors who keep all of this going, and all the plates spinning on top of all of the sticks. And so thanks go out this afternoon to our 16th of the month subscribers. That would be thanks to Brock and thanks to Timothy. Thanks to other Timothy. It's a two Timothy kind of day.
Two Timothys walk into a bar.
So thanks to Brock and Timothy and Timothy and Reinhardt on the Virginia coast. And thank you to Glenn. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to Texas T, and thank you to Cecilia, Cecilia jumping in right at the end of the program last night so that our fundraising goal wasn't as bad as it otherwise would have been. So the fundraising goal for the evening, just so we can keep up with things, is $305. $305. And that that'll bring us even and enable further bill paying. And just about every penny that we raise between here and the end of June will be nothing but bill paying. So thank you, Cecilia, jumping in yesterday evening. And thanks to all of you who keep this program on the air and have for so very long. Just a general, gentle reminder, based on information provided to me by Brother Deacon Asa, it runs about 1 out of 100. About 1 person out of every 100 who listen to this program makes it possible for the other 99 to listen. It's great when folks can jump in and be part of the one as opposed to part of the 99. I understand, I completely understand that especially in this time, people aren't able. And to those who are keeping the program on the air, not only my eternal thanks, but that of everyone else who listens to the program. So thank you indeed. Let's see. Before I jump out there and get on my high horse, let's give a little bit of correspondence in. Kyle noting a couple of hours back, pre-show, Orange Asshole seemed awfully pissed off today that his justice said that LGBTQ people can't be fired for being gay, and did he say there's a vaccine for AIDS? What the fuck is he talking about? All that last part was in caps. Yes, he did say that there is a vaccine for AIDS, and then he backed up and corrected himself. But you have to understand, the spirochetes are kind of OCD. Once they latch onto something, they tend to hang onto something, so he knows he has to have he wants to have some sort of a vaccine to peddle relative to the COVID-19 virus, and so that's all he can think about: vaccine, and that's what the spirochetes are shrieking in the fire swamps that used to be his mind. And the EO, Kyle continues, is more of okay. Let me shut up Black Lives Matter by saying we're going to think about doing some reforms maybe at some point if we feel like that, rather than an order that actually mandates things be done to reform the police. I'm tired of this shit, Bob. Is it January 20th, 2021 yet? No, it's not. And Kyle says, Christ. Oh, I know. It, just as an aside, I saw a report today where something like 19 soldiers from India are dead, and there are an undisclosed number of soldiers from China dead, because those two nuclear powers have decided to duke it out. Where? In the Himalayas, or the Himalayas. No, really. They can't agree on their border that runs through the tallest mountains on Earth, and so have decided to shoot at each other. And, you know, if those two ever do decide to go nuclear at each other, that's a real there-goes-the-neighborhood kind of moment, if we understand that the neighborhood is the planet upon which we all live. And it's kind of hard to figure out who to root for in that setting. I am generally, them being a democracy, have been generally more kindly disposed to the Indian government than the Chinese, because the Chinese government is a brutal, autocratic, authoritarian dictatorship. But on the other hand, with Narendra Modi running the show in India, it's hard to argue that they're much of a democracy anymore because he, of course, is a fascist piece of shit. So we got that. My thoughts exactly. Kyle says, oh, Jesus, nuclear war, just what we need in 2020. Yeah, somewhere, you know, somewhere between the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man coming up over the hills and Godzilla and Mothra fighting it out over the New River Gorge, I wouldn't be surprised by that. Yeah, a couple of nuclear powers trading licks in the Himalayas. Boy, I tell you what, a nuclear missile there. I mean, you talk about mountaintop removal. Jesus Christ. Yeah, maybe it's being orchestrated by people who want Mount Everest to not be the tallest mountain on Earth anymore. Right. So, watch that space, because the idea of clear heads prevailing in that, no, I wouldn't bet my money on that. There's an email from Donald Trump to me. Bob, 5 years to get to go today, I rode down the escalator at Trump Tower. Yes, you did, you scumbag. That's enough of that. And then Scott opining on the Horn 1%. But we're a hardy crew, Bob, tirelessly bailing against the wet and stinky toilet plume in chief. And there goes dinner, globally. Yes, it did, and it does, but you are correct, Scott. Thanks to Louie for getting us started this evening. That's awfully kind of you, Louie. We are now down to $280 to go to get even with fundraising at the end of this Tuesday. That means that, we got $80 to go to finish yesterday. That's huge. Thank you, Louie. Thank you very kindly. Hopefully you'll have more, you will have company along the way. And because he is a little ray of fucking sunshine, Steve in New York pointing out, well, you know, nuclear war would kill the Rona, because it would kill the host. I don't know. Would it kill the Rona? Has that been proven?
Well, I mean, like infraviolet light, like if you stick it up or down somewhere, it kills the Rona really fast.
So I guess there's truth. Oh, Jesus, please don't let him hear that. Nuclear missiles, Lee in New York pointing out, Trump will tell them that nukes are great for ending monsoons.
Nuke the hurricane, nuke the monsoon.
Speaking of monsoon, I guess that's what we're back to now. I was checking the weather app on my phone, and there's not a single ray of sunshine for the next week and a half here. It's all thunderstorm symbols. Today and tomorrow have just been rain symbols, and those are more reliably miserable than the thunderstorm symbols, because sometimes the thunderstorm symbols indicate intermittent pop-up thunderstorms and some sunshine in between. But it's gotten cooler again. Suddenly, mid-June has turned into late April. Gee, thanks. Billable Rick, also a little ray of fucking sunshine, says snowmelt from a nuke on Mount Everest. Just think of the vaporization of the snow and the downstream flooding of the Chinese or if the Indians or Chinese detonated a nuke on Mount Everest. It'd kill millions of people by flooding without regard to the radiation poisoning from the nuke. You're almost a little fucking ray of sunshine more than I am, Billable. The sun's probably shining on you. Lee in New York says, stop it, Bob. We already know that COVIDiots do not listen to doctors, experts, and politicians. They got a rally to attend. They got to hear the only one who tells them the truth. They got, say it with me, freedom! Yeah, I know. Bob, stop telling us how high your horse is. My horse is very high. I, unfortunately, am not. So this is what it's going to be like this evening, isn't it? Okay, let's go through this. If Baltimore Bob, if you're listening, I hope you're listening live. I'm having a rough time downloading your podcast from your White Rose site. Last Thursday's program appears completely lost. Last Friday and yesterday's download yield a 246-byte file labeled Dr. Bill with no playback. Please do what you can to fix this and keep up the great work. Thanks. I don't know what's going on over there. I upload things the same way I do every evening, and I uploaded a file called Kincaid Show 15/06/2020 last night, and it was this recording. I'll check in and see what I can find out. But Wednesday was a lost show because let's just recap this. Wednesday was a lost show because of an equipment failure. Thursday was a lost program for podcast purposes because of a snake. Friday was good. Monday was good. Who knows what this evening will bring? But that's my understanding of the situation. And, of course, you can always get the podcast via a number of different means by simply going to the going to headon.live. There's a whole bunch of different podcasting alternatives there. And finally, with the opening line, Bob, a note. There's another confused maggot asshole on the loose, one of our state senators here in Ohio. When asked about COVID being more prevalent in African-American communities, Steve Huffman said, but why does it not make them more susceptible to just get COVID? Could it just be the African-Americans or the colored population do not wash their hands as well as the other groups? Or wear a mask? Or do not socially distance themselves? Could that be the explanation for the higher incidence? That was an exact quote from a state senator in Ohio and an ER surgeon, or should I say former ER surgeon, as rightfully so, this stupid maggot, was summarily fired from his job following these ignorant remarks. This is just a perfect example of the bigoted maggots that walk among us. What I can't believe is that this individual, a medical doctor, is actually serving in the Ohio State Senate. Hopefully, his Senate service will soon be in the past tense, too. Well, Huffman, I won't even address you as senator or doctor because you're too ignorant to hold either position. If your assertion has any validity, maybe the reason some African Americans and other minorities don't wash their hands well is possibly because they don't have access to good, clean, fresh, hot water because they've been redlined into terrible neighborhoods by people like, let me think this one out through, Donald Trump and his fuckhead father, Fred. Both of whom used to affix a C on housing applications denoting people of color or African-American heritage so they could quarantine and relegate them into inferior or uninhabitable places of living. Many minorities were sanctioned in neighborhoods that had poor schools because they had low tax revenue due to all of the low-paying jobs and poor hospitals, if they had any hospitals at all. So, yes, Dr. Dumbass, thanks to cracker Congress critters such as you, maybe some minorities don't wash their hands well because they simply don't have access to the resources needed to do so. With 40 million people out of work and unemployment rate of 14%, some people can barely afford a bar of soap or to keep the water running. In their residence. As for your assertion that they don't wear a mask, I think you're mixing up the maggots with the minorities. Yes, like the stupid little Karen Candace Keller, House Rep from the Ohio Assembly, who stated, she's not wearing a mask or having her temperature taken before entering the Vern Riffey State Office Tower because, according to her Facebook page, no one gets to control me. It's in the Constitution. Someone should take the thermometer and shove it right up her ass. Dr. Dumbass then also stated that people of color don't do enough social distancing. That's funny because every time I turn on my television, I see an African-American running away from some cracker cop who could kill them. I think this is an excellent example of practicing social distancing, if you ask me. So, Senator Steve Huffman, why don't you go huff and puff and go blow your House of Representatives down in the Assembly and then get the hell out of the Ohio Senate? As far as the washing of hands these days, top executives are doing that. Just ask Tara Devlin, as the CEO of AT&T, just retired into a pension of $64,000 a month, all the while furloughing as many as 100 workers. Yes, while the top executives are richly rewarded, they're washing their hands of any responsibility for the health care, retirement, and other essential needs of their own workforce. Thank you, Ronald Reagan. Finally, they're washing their hands in Washington, D.C., as well as criminal Steve Mnuchin has decided he will not reveal to whom and what amount of PPE went to what companies. you know, all those CEO corporate welfare queens who claim they just hate socialism. Actually, these CEOs love socialism, but they just don't want you to have any of it. This has been Joey's Journal for Tuesday, the 16th day of June, with Giraffrey bathing in a hot bath. Takes Giraffrey a while to dry off, by the way, him being all stuffed and everything. It's not something you can just address with a blow dryer. He's got to have deep tissue drying. Is shocked about the ignorance of an Ohio State senator, asked Steve in New York, from the state that gave us the congressman I worked for who called marriage a sanctimonious institution.
Oh, God.
Well, it is. Marriage is a sanctimonious institution. Pronunciation for Vern Rife is Rife, R-I-F-E, not Riffy. I had a 50-50 chance, and I refuse to bet on coin tosses. Nope. I lose them every time. Thunderstorms? So is, Megan asks, so is Thor having a kegger in West Virginia? That's just not an intergalactic kegger. Or just playing whack-a-mole with y'all. It could be a combination of multiple factors. The hills here tend to slow fronts down, and they sometimes just park and lower over our housetops. It has been known to happen. Nukes, you say? Asks Ron in Raleigh. What do you think? If the Chi-Coms and the Indians decide to toss a couple or three nukes, you think that the Orange Ape will decide to join in? After all, he did ask, we have nukes, why can't we use them? I'm asking while ducking and covering. Again, these are things, Ron, that we simply do not wish to whisper into the ear of the universe, which is where the goddess of irony lives. Speaking of masks, David in South Carolina, Stan notes, in my informal local observations, it is 90% of white people who do not wear masks or socially distance. I think that 90% is generous, because around here I'm thinking it's north of 90% by a long damn shot. But we have masks. Thanks to the Steve in New York and Steve from Georgia, Stan, we have masks. And that means we will be, we'll be able to do the right thing, even if nobody else around us does. But at least we can say that we behaved as intelligent human beings. Mostly, though, I mean, Ferg's working now, but Agnes mostly stays home. And I'm the one who does the running and getting. And Ferg goes and works on the little farm space. He's able to keep relatively socially distant, at least from people, from little tomato plants and goats and ducks and chickens and, yeah, chicks and ducks and goats better scurry. Yeah. Because Ferg collects them eggs in a hurry. Right. But we can be socially distant and masked and gloved, and that's helpful. They're spiking in South Carolina, they're spiking in Florida, they're spiking in Oklahoma, they're spiking in Alabama. So necessarily, what's happening? Well, as noted, Nitwit Nero is heading to Tulsa because he wants to spread some plague there. But relatively new out is his insistence on going to a place of which I'm honestly rather fond. He's going to Mobile, Alabama, because he wants to inject himself into the Republican primary there, which is already pretty hateful, which is fine by me. Former U.S. Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third is trying to get his Senate seat back. He is being opposed in this effort by former Auburn football coach Tommy Tuberville. And not content to let the process play out, President Shit for Brains is going to head to Mobile to actively campaign against Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third, because President Shit for Brains still has a sad and a butt hurt over how he was treated by Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third when he was Attorney General of the new 90 states of Morka. Yeah. Did you ever think you'd see the day when you looked back and said, you know, Sessions was actually a better Attorney General than what we got now? At least he wasn't engaged in open criminal conspiracies much. So Republicans in Alabama are having a conniption, because they would prefer that Clorox Claudius just stay the hell away, because they remember what happened the last time a Republican Senate primary got all nastied up, that one being between Big Luther Strange and Roy Tolamore. When Roy Tolamore won the primary runoff, a lot of Strange voters, and you know, it's not just that they were voting for Luther Strange, it's their Republicans in Alabama, which kind of it doubles down on the concept. The Strange voters were deeply aggrieved, and then it turned out that Roy Tolamore had a thing for perving on Santa's little helper at the mall in December. Republicans decided to stay away, and there was a massive turnout in the African-American community, and that's how Doug Jones became the first Democratic senator from Alabama since Richard Shelby became a turncoat. So Republican leaders in Alabama are really wishing that viral Vespasian would just, you know, stay the hell away. I understand them, but there's something in me that wants him to go. Yeah, you go on down there, Nitwit Nero. You go on down there, and you go hammer and tongs and talk about what a disloyal sissy panty waste Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third was, because you'll be doing it right smack dab in the middle of Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third's hometown and home base and source of a great deal of his support. Because this primary has turned out to be a hot mess, of course, in which the two men, I use the term loosely, are trying to out-Trump each other. The Sessions crawling and begging and rolling over for a belly rub, while at the same time, Tommy Tuberville, by comparison, is saying he's the bigger maggot, but he's taken positions that are directly contrary to what
Clorox Caligula wants in terms of trade policy with China. So that brings Adam Bourne into the mix, B-O-U-R-N-E. He's the head of the Mobile County, Alabama Repiglicking Party. And he said, it's fair to say it's slightly awkward. It's a tough situation for a lot of Republicans who are having to choose between two good people and are having to push through this primary process to get to November. Then again, there's Riley Siebenheiner. I'm not kidding. S-I-S-E-I-B-E-N-H-E-N-E-R. That's Siebenheiner. Riley Siebenheiner, who heads the Geneva County, Alabama GOP, said, I'm pissed off about it. It bothers me that so many people are voting for Tommy Tuberville because Trump doesn't like Sessions. Because Riley Siebenheiner, you know, about 1,000 international units of ibuprofen will cure your Siebenheiner. He understands that Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III had to recuse himself, that it was legally required. But he understood that Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III had to recuse himself, because otherwise Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III might well have got his own self indicted because he done perjured himself during his Senate confirmation hearings, for pity's sakes. Fielded a question from then-Senator Al Franken and lied all over himself. Yep. But for me, well, there's just something about the whole situation that it makes me want Nitwit Nero to go there all the more. Reminded me of a scene from one of my favorite movie films.
Well, what's your answer, Muleskin?
General? You go down there.
You're advising me to go into the coulee?
Yes, sir.
There are no Indians there, I suppose.
I didn't say that. There are thousands of Indians down there. And when they get done with you, there won't be nothing left but a greasy spot. This ain't the Washita River, General. And them ain't helpless women and children waiting for you. The Cheyenne Brave and Sioux. You go down there if you got the nerve.
Still trying to outsmart me, aren't you, Mule Skinner? You want me to think that you don't want me to go down there, but the subtle truth is you really don't want me to go down there. Well, are you reassured now, Major?
Reassured? Well, no, not so much. But you have to admit that a good old-fashioned case of come on, let's you and him fight has a certain appeal to it in this circumstance. So you go on down there to Mobile County, Julius Geezer. You go on down there. You divide that Republican Party real good so that whoever loses that primary come, what is it, August? You make sure that they're done to a tender turn. That there is lots of butt hurt to go around amongst whoever loses, because it's going to be one of those 50.5, 49.5 affairs, most likely. And make sure that you get that you sleaze and slime all over Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions the Third, real good like. So that if and he does win, everybody will be forced into a position of either agreeing with you or voting for Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions the Third. You do that, Geezer Disgustus. Do that. And then come November, we might just have us another little old Alabama Democratic miracle, where Doug Jones can get himself a whole 6-year Senate term all of his own. You do that. You do that, Tangerine Tiberius. I can't think of anything I would rather have you do. Oh, you just fill up that Mobile Civic Center or wherever it is you're going to get all them maggots in there a-breathing all over each other and ejecting virus particles at each other and rubbing of one another and smollicking and larping and tossling of each other's hair. Hell, they may not even be able to go out and vote for Tommy Tuberville. They'll be so damn sick and or dead. You go on down there. Marcus Aurelius, you go. Personally, I'm eager to see it. Except for the fact that Mobile County is already spiking. And after this, they will spike even more. I reckon what's going down in Tulsa is strictly on Clorox Claudius. But Tommy Tuberville will have to sign on to people getting sick in his name, too. And that's going to be a little bit difficult, because as a former football coach of the Auburn University Tigers, he actually once upon a time paid attention, close, careful attention, to the health and well-being of his entire football team. You know, pulled hamstrings and broken finger bones and groin pulls and turf toe and shoulder separations and concussions and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to find out if Tommy Tuberville eagerly signs on to this horse shit in his desperate attempt to felch Donald Trump. As the saying goes, watch this space. Ah, yes, Stephen, New York. Zibenheiner, my favorite brand of sauerkraut. Yeah, it's made with a few caraway seeds, a little garlic, a little hot pepper, a little bit of beer, and a loading dose of Zibenheimer. Heiner. Yum, yum. No, the snake wasn't back. Ferg, no matter how many times I tell him not to come back here when I'm doing the program, came back here just the same, and we had to have a little discussion. So, oh well. What's that? Kyle, A proud white supremacist fucking Klansman and a football coach who is despised by three different schools' fan bases are facing each other to have a shot at the Senate. Goddamn, the fucking Republicans. I know, it's a beautiful thing. Let's see, Tuberville, despised by three different schools. You want to help me out there? Does Auburn despise him? I know the University of Alabama despises him. What's the others? Kyle is obviously a college football aficionado. Mm-hmm. Steve pointing out, Steve from New York, if Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions wins, Trump's noggin will actually explode. Well, I'd buy tickets to see that. Okay. Jimmy in the Great Northwest reminds us they may be LARPing and they may be smollicking and they may be a rubbing, but they will not be a tossling of anybody's hair. They won't be touching hair, Jimmy says. There won't be any black folk there to ask, can I touch your hair? Kyle answering the question. Tommy never paid much attention to anything when he was a coach except insulting his own team's fans. He coached Cincinnati for 3 years, so I got to watch him in my home city, and he couldn't have cared less. Oh, so that's Cincinnati, Auburn, and Alabama, right? Have I got that right now? And there's another good valid question for the political class. Will any self-respecting Crimson Tide fan vote for the former head coach of Auburn University? I can't imagine it, but well, stranger things have happened. Well, we seem to have gotten this thing off to a nice start. Oh, Texas Tech hates him too. So is that actually four schools? Auburn, Alabama, Cincinnati, and Texas Tech? Sheesh. Yeah. How did we possibly manage to work some college football into all of this? It just beats all. And I had a note, and this is strictly technical stuff, from Billable Rick. The podcasts at White Rose Society are a hot mess. Your shows of June 8th, 9th, 10th, and 12th haven't been properly loaded into the White Rose site. Here's what I noticed. June 8th, Dr. Bill's 1 hour and 58-hour show for that day was uploaded instead of your show. June 9th and 12th, you get a 404 not found error code and a reference to Dr. Bill O'Brien's show for the date indicate. Oh, God, I'm just going to have to go deep in the weeds on this. I'll get it squared away, but God, might take a little bit. Brother Deacon Asa reminding us, as far as that Alabama Senate race is concerned, the Republican primary. By the way, Roy Tola Moore got all of 6% of the primary vote. Even Alabama has some standards. We got burned once. We ain't going to get burnt twice. Because them little girls that he ogled and groped and chased and whatever, they're still out there and they haven't gone away, and he hasn't successfully sued them into submission. Yeah. Mercy. Brother Deacon Asa also observing, who'd have thunk Kim Jong bowl haircut blowing up another country's consulate would be the least of our problems? Hell, I hadn't even gotten to that one yet. I mean, that was an inter-Korean cooperation center or something, and it went boom overnight, and somehow wound up way the hell down the list of news to be covered this evening. But I came into the program this evening with something on my mind, because I doubt if anybody else is going to talk about it, because I haven't seen this case even mentioned. David in South Carolina, Stan, adding, Ole Miss, they hate Tommy Tuberville, too. We're up to five now. That may be the thing we work on this evening. How many different colleges, fan bases, despise Tommy Tuberville? I didn't plan it that way. These things just work out organically sometimes. Thank you very kindly to Jeremy for jumping in alongside Louie. So that means we're down to one, two. $275 for the to catch up with fundraising. Thanks very kindly. No, I've got a news story here that it to their credit, it comes from Reuters. So, there was some kind of coverage, but based on me going bouncing back and forth from CNN to MSNBC to CNN to MSNBC, I mean, there's really not a lot of other TV outlets to check, like I'm going to go to Fox. I mean, I may be in a little bit of a weather funk right now, but I don't want to have my brains leaking out my ears or anything. So, no, I won't be going to Fox. Headline. This happened yesterday, by the way. Yesterday. Headline. U.S. Supreme Court clears way for pipeline to cross Appalachian Trail. Well, this story was kind of near and not dear to me, but it mattered because it has to do with the Mid-Atlantic pipeline and the company that's building the Mid-Atlantic pipeline, Dominion Energy, with the backing of the Trump maladministration. Had been really, really pissed that the Fourth United States Circuit Court of Appeals had blocked them from being able to trash the Appalachian Trail with their stupid, toxic frack gas pipeline. Issuing a cheerleading press release. The assholes at Dominion Energy said, "Today's decision is an affirmation for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline and communities across our region that are depending on it for jobs, economic growth, and clean energy. We look forward to resolving the remaining project permits." Because, see, they'd wanted to go across the Appalachian Trail, and the thugs in the Trump administration said,
"Well, the U.S. Forest Service can grant that permit, no problem."
And the courts looked at the lower courts looked at statute, particularly the Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and said, "Y'all ain't got no jurisdiction." Period. And so they had to stop work on the Mid-Atlantic pipeline, which runs from West Virginia to the Atlantic coast and is an environmental goddamn nightmare every inch of the way, with lots of potential to blow little communities to kingdom come wherever their pipeline passes or at their compressor stations. Because pipelines... Well, with pipelines, it's not a question of if the pipeline explodes. It's when the pipeline explodes. And whoever it was that allowed the words clean energy into that press release, well, they can They can go and Cheney themselves. Because there's nothing clean about the combustion of frack gas. It is filthy from the moment it emerges from the earth. The means by which it is extracted is filthy. It will be filthy in its transport. It will be filthy when it gets where it's going, and it'll be filthy when it's burned. So fuck all y'all at Dominion Energy. Yeah, well, Bob, I mean, the LGBTQ rights decision was, well, doggone it, Bob, that was a little miracle. Ann's boy, Neil, and old Balls and Strikes John Roberts joining with the sane members of the court, Breyer and Sotomayor and Kagan RBG, bless her soul, may she live to be 1,000. I mean, those things don't just happen every day, Bob. That was something special. And it was. I mean, come on, Bob. All they got to do is keep them 5 votes together. Old Balls and Strikes and Ann's boy, Neil, and Sammy Bad Breath, who says it's okay to shoot a little black kid in the back of the head when he's running from the cops and isn't shooting at him, doesn't have a weapon, doesn't pose any threat, just trying to get away, that's okay to just blow him away. And Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and of course, Brat Kavanaugh, who loves beer and getting his mortgage paid by some dark money outfit. I mean, they're going to stick together most of the time, aren't they? And a 5-4 decision's a 5-4 decision, and, well, that's how your Atlantic Coast pipeline gets through. Except it wasn't. Yes, old Balls and Strikes voted in favor of Dominion Energy. Yes, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, voted in favor of Dominion Energy. Even wrote the opinion, old Slappy did. Yes, Sammy Bad Breath voted with the majority. Yes, Brat Kavanaugh did the same. Yes! Ann's boy Neil jumped on. And if that had been, but guess who else jumped on? Yeah. That liberal justice, Breyer, jumped on. Well, Bob, I mean, that's a 6-3 decision. That's the same thing as the LGBTQ civil rights decision. It was 7-2 because Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, fuck them hillbillies. Fuck them. Fuck them hard. Fuck 'em good. There is no such thing as a liberal member of the Supreme Court of the United States. They are all as conservative as army ants when it comes to money. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who has survived more bouts of cancer than I can count, looked at a toxic pipeline that has the potential to be a part of a killing machine in Appalachia and said, so what? They're hillbillies. Let the Forest Service do the permitting. I'm not just saying that. She did that. She actually signed on to an opinion authored by Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas. She did it. This case would have hurt badly enough if it had just been 5-4. But adding those two more votes salts it real good with the bitter taste of betrayal. So let's review the outcome of the two principal cases and decisions announced by the Supreme Court on Monday, the 15th day of June 2020, shall we? Let's say you're a member of the LGBTQQQIA community, and you work for Dominion Energy. Well, thanks to yesterday's ruling, let's say you're the PR flack that wrote that bullshit about today's decision is an affirmation for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline and communities across our region that are depending on it for jobs, economic growth, and clean energy. Let's say you're a member of the LGBTQQIA community, and you're the one who wrote those words. Well, by God, now you can't be fired for being gay or trans. You can't be fired for that. So you can go on doing your job, getting paid, while Dominion Energy destroys not a little, but a lot more of Appalachia and areas of the United States outside Appalachia. Yeah. Man, that stings. But I'm not surprised. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was waiting to find out who was going to get fucked in exchange for Gorsuch and old Balls and Strikes joining that opinion. Because these things don't happen in a vacuum. Way, way, way back in the day when the United Mine Workers was a viable operation and they were actually interested in the well-being of people in Appalachia. Well, the coal companies were notorious for salting their operatives into the union. And those operatives wouldn't just sit there and report back. They'd do what they could as agent provocateur inside the organization to get people worked up to do stupid things. And then, finally, when the miners found out that there had been a spy in their ranks and that the spy had taken action against them, based upon knowledge that the spy acquired while in their midst, in a long and bitter lament, the miners would scream to high heaven three little words: "We been sold." Well, we remember that phrase well in Appalachia, and we've been sold. The Supreme Court of the United States traded votes from Balls and Strikes and Ann's Boy Neal in exchange for votes from Breyer and RBG alongside the maniacs. and Appalachia gets fucked again. Funny how it works, isn't it? Ron in Raleigh says, try this on. I know you realize why they decided these cases the way they did. The case for gay people doesn't cost them money. However, a pipeline is another matter. Those guys are on the court for good, so the howls from the anti-gay folks don't mean shit. Nope. But what I found disgusting was the fact that nobody in the multimillionaire media could even bring up that case. Now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, some of those multimillionaires will parachute into some little corner of Appalachia when a compressor station has blown to kingdom come. Or when that thing blows up and takes out a school full of children, and the members of the multimillionaire for-profit media will clutch their pearls and wring their hands and ask, why, oh, how could this possibly ever be allowed to happen? And I probably won't be there to slap them into the last century and say, maybe, you know, if you'd reported on this when it happened, you wouldn't be quite so fucking surprised. And by then, Ruth Bader Ginsburg will probably have gone to her long home, and she will be hailed, rightly so, for the decisions that she got right. And the things that she did wrong and the betrayals that she issued will be forgotten, won't even be footnotes. Some people, however, will remember. It reminds me of my law of the three M's regarding law in America, American jurisprudence. There are three purposes to the law in the United States. First and foremost, protect the money. Secondly, manage the morons. And thirdly, punish the mean ones. Equal justice under law, my ass. And one of the more interesting aspects of the civil rights decision was the fact that a whole lot of huge corporations have already enacted corporate policies to protect members of the LGBTQ community without having been forced to do so by statute or by Supreme Court decision. So the net effect is on outfits like Clayton County, Georgia, you know, government entities. There is a religious exemption, so this isn't going to affect fucking Hobby Lobby, because the Hobby Lobby case itself will be used as a bulwark against this decision. Billable Rick says, subject line, Supreme Court fucks hillbillies again. The Supreme Court's allowance of completion of the Mid-Atlantic pipeline along the Appalachian Trail doesn't just fuck Appalachians, but all Americans and other tourists who want a one-day hike, semi-pristine part of the United States. We are all now much poorer due to the Supreme Court's dreadful decision. We are all Appalachians now. Thank you, Billable. Kind of you to say. It's a horrible decision for climate change. I guess maybe RBG doesn't believe in that either. Doesn't believe in hillbillies, doesn't believe in climate change. Oh well, huh? Reuters, from their article, in Monday's ruling, the Supreme Court agreed with the Trump administration that the Forest Service retained the authority to approve rights of way across the trail. The Park Service's authority over the trail did not transform the land over which the trail passes into land within the national park system, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas wrote. Yeah. I cannot begin to, you're probably guessing just how disgusted I am by this. Kelly Martin heads the Sierra Club's Beyond Dirty Fuels campaign. Kelly Martin said, "Nothing in today's ruling changes the fact that the fracked gas Atlantic Coast Pipeline is a dirty, dangerous threat to our health, climate, and communities, and nothing about the ruling changes our intention to fight it." They're going to bury it 600 feet below a section of the Appalachian Trail. The trail runs from, of course, Maine to Georgia, or Georgia to Maine, depending on which way you're traveling. Those 600 feet will find themselves somewhere in the stratosphere when the goddamn thing blows up. But it's not just the Mid-Atlantic pipeline that Ruth Bader Ginsburg decided to join in. See, that's the thing. She could have just remained silent. She did not have to join in. That's what I want to get across here. Those five judicial thugs could have done this all by themselves, 5-4, didn't need her help. But it was the price that had to be paid in order for Ann's boy Neil and old Balls and Strikes to join the decision they joined. It was a trade. It was a swap. And let it ring out unto the heavens from here in Appalachia, we been sold. Shame on them. They had the votes to do their dirty business. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's vote wasn't necessary. But it was, wasn't it? It certainly was. Because we had to send a signal that the Supreme Court stood with the climate killers and the planet poisoners and the people killers and against their victims. So this will also affect ongoing litigation against the Mountain Valley Pipeline, an entirely different pipeline with all of the same problems, you know, prone to blowing the fuck up. It runs from here in West Virginia to Southern Virginia, and it crosses the Appalachian Trail in the Jefferson National Forest. It's almost finished, but they had to stop until Ruth Bader Ginsburg could join with the judicial thugs and fuck Appalachia. Shame on her. Shame. Undying shame. Let the thugs do what they're going to do. But no, we were part of a bargain. Gorsuch and old Balls and Strikes wouldn't do what they did unless she sold out the planet and sold out some of the most impoverished people in the United States. Shame! Shame. Makes me sick. Billable Rick says, new motto for the Supreme Court, dirty deeds done dirt cheap, not equal justice under law. Well, that's about the size of it. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Dave number 11 with an update on the olive shipment. Yummy, yummy. I can't wait. Kyle asking, yeah, the pipeline may create some jobs, but who's going to work those jobs when the fucking toxins make everyone sick? There's not going to be shit for jobs out of this. There's a few crummy short-term construction jobs, and that's it. Greg will note, hey, Bob, tell the hillbillies welcome to the club of people screwed by the notorious RBG. Grr. The doctrine of discovery is the worldview that a certain group of people have dominion over lands because of their religious and gendered identity. When white European Christian male explorers came to the Americas in the 15th century and onward, they were acting under the authority of the Church of Europe to colonize and Christianize the New World. This doctrine began with three papal bulls in the 15th century, made its way into U.S. and Indian property law in the 1823 U.S. Supreme Court decision Johnson v. McIntosh, and its legacy has continued to be felt today. As recently as 2005, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg cited the landmark 1823 decision in City of Sherrill v. Oneida Indian Nation of New York. The ruling held that the repurchase of tribal lands did not restore tribal sovereignty. Yeah, I think that's the same decision where the Supreme Court in 1823 wrote that Indians didn't really have any claim to their lands because they, A, didn't improve it, and B, weren't Christian. Kyle says, if we were like other civilized countries, well, actual civilized countries, we wouldn't have this issue because money and politics wouldn't be an issue. God damn, I'm so sick and disgusted of being sick and disgusted by shit that the people with money in this country do to us regular folks. Ain't it the truth? And let me be clear about this. I'm not trying to take anything away from the civil rights decision. I'm just sad and angry that rights in this country are treated as some sort of zero-sum game, so that if one group gets an expansion of rights, something has to be taken away from someone else. And it's the eternal game of, was it Gould who said, I can get half of the working class to kill the other half of the working class? Constantly pitting us against each other. I've got LGBTQ friends who have marched alongside us for environmental justice and human rights in Appalachia. I know they've got to be feeling sick about this. And who wouldn't? We're all just bargaining chips to them. Well, I'll see your Neil Gorsuch if you'll. All right, there's your Neil Gorsuch. All right, well, I'll see your Neil Gorsuch with a Ruth Bader Ginsburg and call. Jesus. 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 Infuriating. Too much to stand. But at least we learned something. When it comes to the rights of certain people to live in peace, all that vaunted liberalism goes out the window. And of course, the decision itself is, since it was written by Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, is shitty and shoddy. But you won't hear the head of the Judicial Crisis Network having a hissy on Twitter over this decision, because it worked out to their liking. I know this may sound weird, but I read that story today, and it confirmed what I had suspected. Agnes and I had even been talking about it. I wonder what the deal's going to be. What's the swap going to be? And I can look out my backyard and just imagine seeing a great big orange ball of flame shooting into the air and the ground rumbling under my feet when that fucking pipeline goes up. Can we deliver maybe a video of it to Clarence and Balls and Strikes and shoot him in the back of the head and Ann's boy Neil and Brat, and if she's still around, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Breyer? Can we deliver him video of that? Here, this is what you decided. You own this. This is your baby. No, of course not. Of course not. But it will be their baby. Make no mistake. Lee in New York, you have to improve the land and be Christian to own it? Can we get Kushner's property? Well, it doesn't apply to Jared. It only applies to people who have been here for 10 or 15,000 years. God damn. And so we've got $275 to go to finish the fundraising to this point. Be great to finish off yesterday with $75. That'd be really helpful. Darlene in Connecticut says, as much as I like RBG, she always gave me pause with her friendship and adoration of Scalia, and her early ardent defense of Kavanaugh once he came onto the Supreme Court left me puzzled. I can only hope she's playing 3D chess, but probably not. Not a lot of chess in this, Darlene. Chess is 3 or 4 or 5 moves out. This was simple horse trading. We'll give you Gorsuch and Balls and Strikes. You give us Breyer and RBG. It's just plain old swapping. I wish it was more complicated than that. I wish she was looking 3 moves out and planning a really righteous fucking of the hydrocarbon industry. But I know better. Because I know the history of the court. And I know that probably, if on balance, if you were to analyze every case they've ever decided, they've gotten as much or more wrong than they've ever gotten right. For every Brown versus Board of Education, there's a Slaughterhouse cases, a Plessy versus Ferguson, a Lochner, and a Dred Scott. It probably is 4 or 5 to 1, good decisions to bad. Or bad decisions to good. And that's largely a function of the time in which the courts have operated and the people who have been put on the courts. But make no mistake, liberal or conservative, the purpose of the Supreme Court of the United States is to maintain the status quo for the ownership class. Can we at least be clear on that? Yeah. Hey, let's check in with Todd and see what's up. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Bob. Wow. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Oh, isn't that fun?
It'll pass in a minute.
Okay, so I had no idea about that story with Bader Ginsburg. That, you know,
that's why I gave it the time it did, because nobody's aware of it. That's a page A37 story from a wire service. It's not going to get front page headlines.
And that's a whole other story right there that doesn't get front page headlines. Because you know something, it should have been required. There's only 9 Supreme Court justices. They should have had to visit the area before they made that decision. Because honestly, on the East Coast, you would be hard-pressed to find more pristine areas than West Virginia.
Well, but it's not. But truth be told, Todd, it isn't, because the fact of the matter is, 100 years ago, there was barely a tree left standing in this state. There are only 2 or 3 pockets of old growth forest here. One of them is they're called the Virgin Hemlocks up at Cooper's Rock State Forest, almost into Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
But everything here was cut down for the mines or the railroads. Or for the shitty housing that was built for the people who were working. But it came back with, you know, it's newish growth. There are, you know, 100-year-old trees and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there are beautiful forested areas. And we're justifiably proud of, I mean, you know, we put wild, wonderful West Virginia on our license plates. Because
right.
We kind of like it that way. But there's nothing wild about a mountain that's had the top 800 feet blown off of it for to the tune of 5,000 acres at a pop. And there's nothing wonderful about a 600 foot deep ditch with a toxic high pressured pipeline running under it.
Well, I mean, you're making your point. You know, I mean, if they want the state to look like just outside of Charleston with the barren landscape going down to the river, you know, I guess that's so. All right, my choice of words was probably poor.
Well, I'm not going on you.
No, but it doesn't matter, because that is some fucked up shit, and I'm sorry to be so base, but I'm just shocked. And I'm so glad you said before, I mean, you said it before I could say it out loud, that must have been a deal, you know, and so we're down to that level. That's so sad. But to think, this is what I was thinking about, first of all, is the water. And when you said it, people got to remember, pipes fail. Pipes always fail. That's what they do. What's the plan? And you're talking about a low regulation state? Please, come on. They don't want you to have any potable water. Forget about it. You're going to have no water, no nothing.
Nope.
You know what? They don't want you there anymore. These people are going to have to move. That's fucked up.
There is a memo that is 30 years old now. I've seen it. I've held it in my hands. It was authored by a guy named Snyder, who was chief counsel to Columbia Gas in the 90s. Here in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And he authored a memo on the depopulation of West Virginia to make it safer for the extraction industries.
You kidding me? Oh
no.
My God.
No, it is a hillbilly Vanze document. I kid you not. And it talks about how we'll change the tax base. And we'll get we'll get people to move out of here in an exodus. And we'll just keep enough services to take care of the people who have to work on the extraction jobs. We'll have just enough education to educate their kids at a minimal level, just enough health care to take care of them when they get blasted or burnt in the mines or crushed by a machine. And you know, just maintain and run everybody out and let the old folks die away.
Was it titled The Expendables?
No, but it might as well have been.
See, all right, that's some fuck. I had no idea. Wow. Good God, they just can't stop. Between the retention ponds and the climate is changing. When that summer heat hits that pipeline, forget about it.
At one of these compressor stations, all it takes is a spark.
Right, that's not pleasant. Man, I know. How did that get buried? Nobody's talking about that.
Well, that's the purpose of this program, to talk about shit that doesn't get talked about.
I hope Bader Zach is feeling all achy. Anyway, that when I heard you talk about that, I just really, really, really could not believe that. I mean, they can't clean up the shit that they're doing now. They can't clean up the mess they've already made. They're going to make more mess?
And, you know, if you want to know what it's going to look like, you can go on YouTube, Todd, and you can look up natural gas compression station explodes or pipeline explodes. And especially with pipeline explodes, I have a feeling you'll get a lot of video.
Well,
because relatively speaking, pipelines explode a lot.
Yeah. I mean, ask residents of Cushman, Oklahoma. I think that's a real big transit area for natural gas pipelines. You know, Cushman, like those little Cushman things and plants. But, wow, that's really depressing. That is really, really depressing. And it had to be dealt. You know, my God. So everything is corrupt. Everything is for a price now. Well, it always was, I guess. But, damn. You know, you get a piece of good news. And honestly, I mean, those other decisions, I don't know if a lot of Americans understood, you know, how vulnerable transgender and gay people, you know, are. Because, you know, I was ignorant to that because, you know, Philly's real gay friendly and you can definitely not do that. You just, you know, that forget about it. You can't do that shit. But I had no idea you were allowed to do that. But that's crazy.
Well, Steve from Georgistan went digging around, and at least NPR covered it. Supreme Court says pipeline may cross underneath Appalachian Trail. That damn thing is 600 miles long, Todd. And every inch of it is prone to blowing to kingdom come.
Okay. All right. Let's, you know what? Now that you presented it in that way, and thanks, Steve, because I don't know how I missed that because I love NPR. But, all right, so 600 feet. Mm-hmm. So, you know something? These people are really, they're evil. They are. They're malevolent. They know what's going to happen. They've already made plans for when it blows up. And I bet you they're already buying companies to do the cleanup.
Oh, well, look, I'm sure the accountants have already factored in how much gas they have to move versus how much an explosion will cost. You know, it's kind of like the way Ford accountants figured that it was, you remember.
Yeah.
They determined.
With the Pinto?
It's called cost-benefit analysis, and they determined that it was cheaper to let people get blown up and die in Pintos than it was to correct the problem.
And I think it was, I know this with 100% confidence. It was less than a $10 part in 1970s money. And I think it was around $3 or $4, maybe $7, but it was less than 10. It was some minuscule amount of money where people just got, they were just, okay. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know something. I really believe they just don't want, I think that there's a group of people that's just too many, that believe there's just too much.
Well, I mean, there are so many things that are galling about this decision, Todd. For instance, in the decision that Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas wrote, remember, he is one of two credibly accused rapists or sexual abusers on the Supreme Court now. Just saying. He's not the only one anymore. He said that letting Dominion Energy cross the Appalachian Trail was no different than, you know, let's say you own a chunk of land and you grant a right-of-way or an easement to your neighbor so that they can build their driveway to their house. It's no different than that. It's the same thing.
That's bullshit.
Except the driveway doesn't blow up.
Exactly. Like, you know, there's more than just a risk of potholes or drainage issues. And you know, and this is getting disgusting because, you know, we were willing to we weren't really willing. But, you know, and people said, okay, you know, we have to get the economy back going. This is back in the 80s. You know, let's deregulate because we've got to get this thing going. Okay, fine. We'll make some concessions. Now we have disgusting water. People have to buy water to wash with. If you live in Flint, and it's not just Flint. You know, our potable water, this is a crisis.
Well, you know, and it's not on the same scale by any stretch of the imagination, but long before anybody knew about what had happened in Flint, Coal River Mountain Watch was delivering clean water every day, thousands and thousands and thousands of gallons, to a little community called Printer, because the mining companies had ruined their water, and that was the only way they had of getting water. Was for Coal River Mountain Watch to bring it to them.
The only thing you've missed on that was some selective and nice adjectives about the quality of water that was tainted.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking good water.
Oh, before the strip miners ruined the well water here. I remember as a child, one of my favorite things when we would come to visit was when it would be time to draw up a bucket of water. And I would go with my gran back to the well. It's still right back behind me. And it was, more than 70 feet deep. And there was a windlass and a spool of rope. And a zinc galvanized canister. And you would drop it down the well, and it would, it would go fast. And then she'd have gloves on, and she'd stop the rope, and then gently let it hit the water, boom, and then gently let it submerge. And then you would hear bubbling as it filled that canister. And then the hard work started of cranking that rope back up. And when it finally came up, she'd take it by its handle, hold it over the bucket, and there was a ring. And she'd pull that ring up, and the water would be released into the bucket. And it was... frigid. My favorite thing was to drink that water fresh out of the well, because it was so cold it would make your head hurt.
Right after the car ride, you probably wanted to like jump out of the car and get that cold water.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And there was no sediment in it. It was crystal clear. It had no smell. It was just perfect. And then they blew the mountains up out the road, and now it's full of red scum and toxic. Just is.
See, that's criminal. Yeah, but, you know, and see what you described now, so many people, so many Americans have never experienced that. Being able to drink out of a spring. Like somebody older, a knowledgeable person, like, yeah, it's a safe water. You can drink this. It's cold and it comes out of the earth. And it is something different to that. And, you know, and that's, I don't know if that's never coming back. We can forget about that. That's too bad. We're in a different place. And I had that memo that you talked about. You see, that makes me think about now, like the Gulf Coast area, like around, you know, New Orleans and in Houston, Texas, where they have all these chemical plants. They don't want people around anymore. They just want to do what the hell they want to do. Pollute, exploit the land, you know, just like you said, just keep enough people around to service the industry and move on. So, you know, we have to enjoy what we can now. And that's the other thing is that, you know, I think today should be First Timer Tuesday. Because, you know, I've been listening to your show and we've been talking for a while. And I wasn't always able to give and still not what I'd like to, but, you know, I do what I can. And I think it would be great, people who listen and have never donated or don't know how or just scared or whatever, I don't know. But every little bit helps. And, you know, if you have a couple bucks or if you don't have a credit card or debit card or whatever, you can get a money order, you'll feel better about yourself. Even just a few dollars, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever. Whatever you feel like you can afford. Because karma is real. Karma is nothing more than physics in a spiritual sense. At least that's my take on it. And it just makes sense. And you know, it's like okay, you know, we all have friends. We've all had friends. You go by and they always have food and, you know, or there's always a party going on or somebody's always in the corner and they always have beer and weed and smoke and drink and whatever and keep moving. Nobody ever asked for anything. Nobody said anything. It's fine. But sometimes it's good to bring something to the party. Does that make any sense?
It absolutely does. And I appreciate you saying it. Because, you know, this is, well, no ads or anything like that. I mean, we either keep it on the air this way or we don't keep it on the air.
Right. And then Dr. O'Brien, you know, dig into the website. Dr. O'Brien has been on fire lately. You know.
Yeah, and he'll be back. He had a meeting today, but he'll be back tomorrow. He was live on Monday, but we had technical issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, this whole, I'm still trying to like contemplate what this pipeline, it's so much wrong with that. The excavation that has to happen just to make that, just to dig it. It's the whole thing. It's just, it makes no damn sense.
And the thing is, it and the Mountain Valley Pipeline, the other thing that needs to be taken into account is, you know the way that Slappy said it's like one neighbor granting another an easement?
Right.
Well, it's not, because when one neighbor grants another neighbor an easement, the neighbor does so as an act of kindness and generosity, or, you know, maybe money changes hands. Mm-hmm. But the person wanting the easement doesn't get to just come in and say, fuck you, I'm taking it. Well, there are countless people in the paths of these nightmare pipelines who had exactly that done to them. We don't care about your farm. We don't care if you're an organic farmer. We don't care. We're taking it because we're who we are. And then they did.
Okay. Where is the other part? I seem to remember somewhere way out, I don't know, in the plains, maybe. I don't know. There was some kind of case, but that was a few years ago. Maybe is that, what's the other part of this story with the pipelines? What part of the country is that? Mountain View.
Oh, Mountain Valley runs, it's West Virginia, too.
Okay.
Mid-Atlantic and Mountain Valley. And here's the ultimate irony of it.
Are they running out of Philly? Because there's a lot of natural, there's all kinds of shit. That's what I'm thinking. That's terrible.
It's Dominion Energy. And I think, unless I'm mistaken, that somewhere in the distant past, they may have had some relationship to what was then Columbia Gas, which was where the executive was who wrote the Depopulate West Virginia memo.
Oh, great.
But the ultimate irony in this is that this is West Virginia frack gas. This is all about getting West Virginia gas to the more populous areas in Virginia and North Carolina, primarily.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hilarious in its own right, because way back in the bad old days, they had to build railroads to get the coal out of West Virginia, because it was, West Virginia is hard to get to a certain extent, even to this day.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm saying. There's not that many roads. Even when you get there, there's not that many roads in West Virginia.
Sooner or later, unless you're going right to what passes for a population center, you're going to get on some winding two-lane road.
Dangerous.
Well, we call it good road. If it's got pavement on it, we call it good road.
It ain't good if you're not used to that road and you go down in the holler and there's that fog and it's like, oh shit, I didn't know the road was going left. Shit.
And you keep going right, yeah. So back then, at least the hillbillies could pick up a little bit of some coal that would rattle off of the coal cars once in a while and use it for heat. But this is West Virginia frack gas, and West Virginians ain't allowed to have it. This is gas that is going to be burned in Richmond and Raleigh and Durham and what have you.
Did I even give you guys a little bit of a?
No, we don't even get a reach around.
Oh, so fine. They don't give a fuck then. All right, he's just telling you. You may as well leave now. They don't give a fuck about you.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
I'm convinced, man. I'm telling you, I'm convinced. We're all fucked. If you work for a check, you're fucked. The new way, all us regular people, we're going to be down here on this polluted planet. Elon Musk, whatever his name, Mr. Musk, they're going to have their shit. You know, the wealthy people are going to be living in orbit. In terrariums, you know, like floating terrariums type of things. Because there's no way this is sustainable now. This is bullshit. We have no clean water. And then if you can get water, then what are they going to charge for it? I mean, whoever thought that a gallon of water would be what a gallon of gasoline used to cost?
A buck a gallon. I mean, it's a buck a gallon at the Wiggling Pig. If I go all the way to Wally World or Kroger, I can get it for 87 cents a gallon.
That's what I'm... That's the only reason I hesitate.
But I have to buy a whole lot to justify the expenditure of the extra gasoline to get there, to make it economically viable. 87 cents a gallon.
Yeah, and I heard you talk about the rain barrel the other day. And anyone who has a house or even if you live in an apartment, you can get away with it. experiment. Get somebody's trash can. People throw away perfectly good trash cans that don't leak. And put it where you see the depressions in the ground where rain flows off of roofs. You would be shocked how much rain can fall with a heavy rainstorm.
Well, this house was sustainable before sustainable was cool. Because there was a pair of at least 500-gallon cisterns, one 6 feet, one 8 feet tall above ground, and another 8 feet deep below ground. And every building had guttering, and the guttering all ran to the cistern.
Hmm.
And so the goal was you would fill it all the way up to the top cistern, and you had hellacious water pressure into the house, and that's what was used for, like, washing dishes and rainwater.
Mm-hmm.
It was not used for drinking or cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, it was there. And, there are places in the West where it is illegal to gather rainwater?
I thought that was a rumor.
No, it's true.
Okay, yeah. We're in trouble.
By the way, you got a note from Barbara. And thanks again, Barbara, for helping with the program. And thanks going out to Roberto. Roberto just jumped in, so we've only got $50 to finish off yesterday now. That's awesome. But Barbara writes, Todd's probably too young to remember when someone in the neighborhood who had a car would collect gallon bottles of water from neighbors and bring back fresh spring water from Fairmont Park in Philly. The health board closed them down in the mid-50s because they became so polluted, but it would be so cool and deliciously light to drink. So I can imagine what your well water was like, Bob. Also, if you remember, the CEO of Nestle said he didn't believe fresh water was a human right. Yep.
Wow, Barbara. Oh, Barbara made my day. My father, we tried that. I was on the tail end of that because, remember, along the Schuylkill River, there were a lot of breweries, a lot of caves, and there were springs coming out of those rocks, and they finally had to cut them off. But on Saturdays, you'd have to get there early on Saturday morning. You bring your milk jugs, and, they had radon and maybe some other stuff going on. But that, yes, absolutely. Yes, Barbara. See, yes. You know, it's simple. You know, we need water. I mean, there's nothing like fresh water out of the ground, spring water.
Oh, I go into absolute raptures over, and I don't mean like flying up into the clouds, over artesian wells.
Oh.
I know of one on the grounds, or maybe they've capped it off since, or it's played out or whatever. But back in the mid-80s, there was one on the grounds of Pinson Mounds State Archaeological Park in Pinson, Tennessee. And it just sat there, and it, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, shot out of the ground. Under pressure.
Wow.
Under pressure. Ice cold. And God only knows how many tens of thousands of years old. Rain that probably fell to earth before human beings even saw this continent. And then, lo and behold, on one of my trips up to the Northwoods in Wisconsin, I was shown another one. And it, too, was just magic. It was wonderful. And I cannot and will not forget the wonderful little coffee shop there in Ashland, the Black Cat Cafe, which was very there was a bar of the same name in W.C. Fields, the bank, Dick.
Yeah.
The only thing was that Fields made that a dirty joke. There was nothing dirty about the Black Cat Cafe. They had wonderful coffee, and they only brewed their coffee with that artesian well water.
That's what, if you ever see, anybody who's ever seen the schematics of how artesian water works, that's special water, because then you get those trace minerals, because it goes down and then back up, and it's special. Sorry, I had to put that in there. I'm still thinking about Barbara, man. How does, you know what, Barbara, I bet you know about Strawberry Mansion. Barbara knows of what she speaks. She you can't understand what Fairmount Park was like. Like, well, it's probably it's a little bit still like that, but you got the east side and the west side. Remember, I've told you there's a Japanese tea house on the west side.
Oh, wow.
Because there's these rolling hills and springs. I mean, I can imagine what the Victorians were like. And the cops really didn't mess with you. Man, you'd be out there, you can drink, smoke, get your grill. They don't bother unless you hurt somebody, just leave you alone. Clean up, you know, just clean up. But yes, Bart, I'm sorry, man. He got me thinking. That's the truth, though. All right, artesian water, sorry.
Well, no, I experienced all of that because you remember last summer I got to, well, Chris and I road tripped out to the west of Philly, crossed the Schuylkill, and visited Agnes's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's farm.
Oh, you did. I forgot. You did do that.
And he had thousands of acres. And Bartram's Gardens is now significantly reduced. But you can walk from his house down to the river, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it sure does still partake of the idea of paradise. And you know, for some reason or another, the people in charge of such things put, and it kind of blew my mind, they put the projects out there, way the hell out of Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And put them on John Bartram's old farm. And
you know,
so
it was
kind of strange.
Well, they did that in a few places, Bob, because, like, all right, for instance, there's a part of Germantown where I'm from, and it abuts East Falls, where whatchamacallit still lives, the old DA and the old Governor Rendell. Matter of fact, he lives one block from the library. I know exactly where his house is. But they built massive high-rise projects right there on the Schuylkill. And we always thought, like, why in the world is public housing on this spot? This is like prime real estate. Because what East Falls does, it abuts, I don't know, nobody knows any of this except Barbara. It abuts Manayunk.
Well, don't forget Clarence, man.
Hmm?
Don't forget Clarence. He probably knows.
Hey, Clarence. I'm not forgetting Clarence, man. I always try to remember Clarence because, you know, yes, absolutely. It's just interesting, you know. I just all those good memories, man. I used to run ball at 33rd and Diamond, and see, you can get on your bike, man. You can ride on your bike all the way from Germantown, Chestnut Hill, all the way downtown, all the way back. And if you can't make it back, you put your bike on the train and come back. Wow, but you know, things change. Everything's different now. But yes, there was spring water and you know, the park is still beautiful. That's one of the best parts of Philadelphia because a lot of people don't understand that's the largest city park in the United States. Like if you put everything together,
didn't know that.
Very green. Yeah, it absolutely is.
And I need to send some thank yous out. Thank you to Rick who isn't billable Rick. Thank you, Rick, for taking us down to $25 to go to finish off yesterday. Thanks. Tremendously, Rick. That's a huge help. Thank you so much. Just got a note from Cynthia. I've mentioned the book, The Emerald Mile by Kevin Fedarko, to you before. I'm only about a third of the way through reading the book, but ostensibly it's about the record-setting river run in June 1983 in a little wooden dory named the Emerald Mile, but it's so much more. That little boat was built for a new river running company called Grand Canyon Dories, owned by Martin Litton, someone I had never heard of, but who we all owe a debt of gratitude to. Among a lot of other things, Litton was a no-holds-barred conservationist, and he named all his boats after beautiful wonders of nature lost forever to the money changers in the temple. People who had no soul and didn't care about anything but money, and they didn't care what they destroyed to get it. And nature lost to people who thought they were doing something good for people, and maybe at some level they were, while not realizing the damage they were doing. Anyway, the Emerald Mile, for which that little boat was named, was a stretch of beautiful and virgin old-growth redwoods along the northern coast of California that was clear-cut by a logging company that wanted to disqualify that land for inclusion into a national park. How evil is that? The point here, well, because of such losses, Martin Litton felt compromise on anything was vile and dangerous because what was given away for whatever gain is lost forever and can never be gotten back. That is what this stupid fucking Supreme Court decision will do, destruction of nature on the Appalachian Trail. Once gone, it's gone forever, and it's a crime against nature and all people. I've never been to or seen any part of the Appalachian Trail, but it breaks my heart to think of what will happen. I cry. I'm glad I'm getting old. I can't bear to see what else will be lost, even as Trump is now selling leasing rights for mining and drilling at the doorsteps to the Arches, Canyonlands, Capitol Reef, Bear's Ears, and more. And that doesn't even get into the shipping of radioactive waste from Estonia for dumping at Bear's Ears. That is what these bastards think of our temples. Fuck them all. Fuck them all to hell. Hear, hear, Cynthia. Hear, hear. And on top of it all, I got a note from our correspondent in the far frozen wastelands of Canada, letting me know that the Alberta provincial government, and see, when Lauren told me about this, I wanted to kick furniture. Because Judy Bonds has been gone from us for way too long. And she was taken way too soon, and she was killed by cancer that was brought on by goddamn mountaintop removal coal operations where she was born and lived all her life. But she said, trying to get people to understand why they should care about what happens in Appalachia, she said, if mountaintop removal continues in Appalachia, it will not stay in Appalachia. It will go elsewhere because it's an easy, fast, dirty buck. And so lo and behold, you know, years ago when I went out to northern Wisconsin, I went there because there was a West Virginia coal miner who's all dead now. But he wanted to mountaintop remove the Pinoki Hills of northern Wisconsin. And I went out to add my voice to the magnificent voices opposing it. And now, Lauren tells me, as of today on Facebook, the provincial government in Alberta wants to do mountaintop removal for coal in those mountains there. And those aren't any low rolling green hills. Those are those big old big ass frozen spiky young mountains. And they want to blow them away to get to some coal. Ugh. I mean, there are some genuinely evil people out there. And they work for places like Dominion Energy and various and sundry coal companies.
Wait a minute. That's where I get my gas from, come to think. They bought out my gas company. Right. Oh, shit. I just thought about that. Fuckers.
Well, then, you're liable to be getting you some natural gas from West Virginia in a few years.
Wait a minute. I'm still, you know what, Bob? It's just so much shit that we have to deal with. I'm still getting my mind around this shit. The excavation. When the accident happens, it's hard to get there, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, you should see what they have to do to cross a ridge. It's fascinating, but they literally daisy chain bulldozers together and excavating equipment together on slopes that are practically straight up and down. I mean, it's harrowing work for whoever does the pipeline work.
Look, I don't even know if they've, you know, we have never addressed what happened with the BP oil splurge.
The BP Horizon?
Yes.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. It's not funny. It was ironic, I guess. That's the word I was looking for.
I know what you mean.
Agnes and I sit there with the tablet at the end of the day and watch things. We just started if Scary Jerry's listening, we just started season 3 of Deadwood.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost done with that. But the other night, just because we both enjoy it, they're guilty pleasures. We both love The Fifth Element. We're science fiction fans. And we like that movie Armageddon.
And I couldn't help noticing that that movie was made in 1997. And the movie begins with an asteroid shower, meteorite shower, that hits all over the planet. And it causes a lot of devastation. And one of the primary scenes of the devastation happening is New York City. And one of the early shots you get is of the New York skyline complete with the Twin Towers. And we know that American film goes all over the world. The whole world loves American movies. The bigger and the splashier, the better. And so there's a shot in the movie. I kid you not. Go and check it out. Check me out. There is a shot of one of those meteors going through the World Trade Center. And we rewound it. I mean, there's no such thing as rewinding anymore, but you know what I mean. And watched it a couple of times, and I looked at Agnes, and I said, you think that maybe that 6'6" tall Arab with the portable dialysis machine and a hard-on against the United States for putting its soldiers on sacred Saudi sand, you reckon maybe he saw that and thought, ooh, I'm having an idea. Because 4 years later, there you are. Because that scene of the meteor going through the World Trade Center looked shockingly like the same angle of an airliner going through the World Trade Center.
Well, I'm not trying to get all conspiracy, but let me say this. One of my coworkers, well, just really me and him, we're setting up for a conference, a seminar conference type thing. So we had a TV in our office, and, you know, we're goofing off and everything. We had the TV on. We're watching The View. Also in The View was like, it was crazy. Matter of fact, they were doing some crazy shit on The View that day. But that's beside the point. And so we saw this happen live. And we're at Temple. You know, and we're in a tall building at Temple. And matter of fact, right across the street from White Hall, where I graduated from psychology, but I'm in a building across the street, another high-rise building. And so we see this happen live. And it was strange because after the first plane, the second plane didn't have any markings on it. It was a smaller, kind of chubby-looking, grayish, just grayish. It didn't look. It wasn't a passenger liner, is what I'm saying. Because we were still getting over the first one because we couldn't believe what was happening. Because it was just on TV. It was live. Then the commentators, what he was saying didn't match up with what just happened. I just have really bad memories of that because, you know, right after that happened, you know, part of my job, you know, at that point in my career, I was, we were studying student achievement. So a lot of our client schools were in the New York City area, Newark, Elizabeth, Patterson, Irvington. And then, so after it happened, I remember going and seeing some of the lead teachers. And there was one kid, I'll never forget this, and I remembered him because, you know, this is a longitudinal study, and I remember him from, like, 3 years before. And it was getting late in the day, and he was still there. And she says, oh, well, you know, he stays with me now. Both his parents worked in the World Trade Center. And
Jesus.
You know, and to look, I mean, I'm feet away from this young man. And I'd seen him for 3 years. I've interviewed him. My job was to interview these kids, interview the teachers. You know, that was part of my job. I had no idea. that will never leave me. I mean, the world changed. Like, you don't know what it was like. Matter of fact, when we saw it happen, one of my coworkers lived in the same neighborhood as me. Like we lived blocks away, like right on the same train stop. And we looked at each other like, hey, you want to go? I'm like, yeah, I want to go. Like, I'm not, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. We're in a high-rise building. We're going home. Like, at least where we live, there's no big buildings. You know, it's on the edge of the city, way up in Germantown where it's green, trees. We're like, we're going home. Let's go. And we left, man. He drove to work. He had a pickup truck. We got in that truck, and we went home. We went back to the neighborhood. I don't even know if we went to work the next day. I'm sorry, man. You brought that shit up, but I'm
trying to realize why it was I did. There was some point to it along there somewhere.
An explosion. You said there was a hole. You said there was a hole going through the building, and it looked just like the hole that you saw in the movie. Watching a movie.
It was just weird to realize that. You know, we don't know where the inspiration for this shit comes from, but while we were talking, I went and looked up Pipeline Blows Up on YouTube, and there's a lot of them. And these things are invitations to disaster. And it's hard to imagine that this isn't just something wicked this way comes, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. And you said it was hard to get to. Some of these places are almost impossible to get to. And by the way, since we talked about Beautiful Springs, I've had several emails and messages. I just watched a video of a spring, Indigo Springs in the Cascades of Oregon. Thank you very kindly for sending that. That's beautiful. And Pauline just sent me a link to and said, here's some water to visit. Old Faithful in Manatee County. Wow. Just magnificent. But it's, you know, one loss doesn't mean you quit and go away. And they're not going to quit and go away. And I give the Sierra Club a lot of hell. But one of the places where they do a great deal of good is in funding lawsuits. And they're going to continue contesting these godforsaken disasters, because that's what they are. But in the final analysis, it's hard to get over the rat fucking. Again, because 5-4 or 7-2, 5-4 wins.
Yeah.
Why did those two liberal members of the Supreme Court feel compelled to jump in there if it wasn't a matter of horse trading?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, Bob, because like I said, when I was on hold and I was like, I can't, as soon as you mentioned, you know, you intimated that, all right, there was some trading going on. I was like, okay, I don't feel crazy, because it kind of popped into my head after some contemplation quickly. And then, all right, so now you say it again. So wait a minute. This, all right, we have to, all right, let's accept the facts as they are. Let's take our emotions out of it. Let's be clinical. We see what this is now. So what is down the road? Are these people, do they have the board set up? Is it, okay, you want this, I want this? I mean, is it that simple?
I fear it may be.
I mean, okay. I wasn't being fuzzy, right? You understand what I mean?
No.
Because this is fucked up. So they're playing games with him. I mean, come on. They already had citizens. See, let me say this. Just a couple things I really have to get off my fucking chest right now. I think people have forgotten how fucking crazy and fucked up this Citizens United decision was. That set the table for just total unabashed
fucked up in this. You just do what the hell you want. If you have money, fuck it. Do it. I mean, that was the, if you have money, do it. If you don't have money, you don't have any standing. You don't have to, you do nothing. Just shut the fuck up. So that's law, right? That's law. Now, because of our system, our Electoral College, they had an opportunity to prevent this monstrosity. And I have to say, let me interject this real quick. I'm still in the camp that he is a sociopath, but this is the beauty of it. You don't have to pick and choose. Sociopathy, learning disabilities, and psychosocial learning disabilities and disabilities in general, they all operate on different planes. So you can be slow and crazy. You can be very bright and crazy. You can be crazy. You can be slow. You see, they're different entities. They're different things. And that's why I've labeled this individual a walking cauldron of pathologies. And then we hadn't even gotten to the dementia, the probably the spirochetes. There's a lot of shit going on. Because remember, before when he was running, he couldn't remember people's names. He could not remember people's names in meetings. When he got serious about running, 12 people, he couldn't remember everybody's name. Because, that's basic. If you're running for office, you got to remember people's names. And, shake their hand, remember somebody's name for, 10 minutes. You can forget it after that, but whatever. You following me here?
I am.
Now he's on, he's supposedly getting the best health care, which touches into another thing I want to talk about real quick. But, okay, so fine. Now he's tuned up. They have him on the best medication ever because he was failing. And you don't have to – I'm saying this, but I'm saying this with evidence behind me. Let's go back to that first book, Tom Wolfe. I believe that was the first book. And then it was Omarosa or whatever. It sounds like the Philly Hoagie Bowl, Omarosa's or whatever, whatever her name is. But guess what? All those books are true. We used to laugh at it. All that shit was true. So, once again, Electoral College, they had the opportunity to say, it's not going to be a good fit. Sorry. They didn't do that. So, the social precipitate of that is an extension of white supremacy and a permanent 20% tax cut for the power elite. 20%. We have forgotten that. 20%. And interest rates right now are zero. Zero.
Well, they're zero if you're the right kind of people.
If you're the right, and they are the right kind of people. Which means that we're subsidizing their fucking existence again, but even more so.
Well, and that reminds me of what you said about where you get your natural gas, Dominion Energy, right?
Yes.
Look for a friendly neighborhood rate increase, if you haven't already gotten it, to pay for the cost of litigation and the cost of construction of this nightmare pipeline.
Wait a minute. We're still paying for a nuclear power plant that we voted against, that they built anyway.
This way to the egress. Pay your nickel.
I don't know what's going to become of us. If you work for a check, if you like children, if you like animals, if you're not, I don't know what's going to become of us.
Well, I got to be clear, Todd. I'm upset with myself because of this story. Because I could not be any happier than I am. I mean, I am truly thrilled that there has been this correction of a long-standing evil in regard to civil rights and employment law. I don't want to make I don't want anybody thinking that I'm bitter. I'm not. I'm happy. I'm thrilled for members of the LGBTQ community for getting that hateful bit of oppression off of their backs. But Kyle just wrote in and said, so even when we win to get basic protections that everyone else has, it's nothing but a trade-off to these fuckers for money from the donors of their buddies in the legislative and executive branches so someone else can get fucked. Jesus Christ. And it is. I mean, I acknowledge intersectionality. Mm-hmm. I'm a long-standing believer in a harm to one is a harm to all. That's fundamental. That's early labor movement 101.
Got to do it.
And labor is, of course, the mother church of all activism. All activism. Miles Horton and Don West founded the Highlander Center in 1932, and they were the ones who taught the tactics to Rosa Parks and Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. They were so hated in East Tennessee that they were burned out by white supremacists. Okay?
East Tennessee, baby. They still have that long. Look, they're standing strong.
But I strongly adhere to the idea that we all win when rights are expanded, when we acknowledge the greater good of more people participating and partaking of notions of democracy and fairness and equality, we become a better nation. But I would have been untrue to myself had I not pointed out this bit of bitter horse trading that went on.
No, what? That's the biggest... Listen. I always say that shit when you bring up West Virginia, but I'm just saying, damn. Because you remember, West Virginia is like four or five different states. You know, Charleston's one thing. The eastern part of West Virginia is different than the western part of West Virginia and the southern part of West Virginia. But it's still West Virginia. And it's not fair, and I totally understand what you're saying, and you're making all the sense in the world. You're connecting all the dots, and this is why you intimated earlier in our conversation. Okay, so now where somebody called in something, we're on the same page. You're going for them. It's not going to stop with you in West Virginia. And it hasn't. I mean, there's environmental racism. That's like, well, you went to Philly, then Bartram. What do you remember those, that disgusting, you should smell that shit in the 70s, man, going toward the airport where the refineries are?
Yo. I still remember the first time I saw how broad the Delaware River is as it comes up to where Philly is.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I have this ability to sort of look at a place and take away all the stuff that's there and imagine it in a state of nature. Those white people, those Quakers coming up the Delaware, must have looked at where they sighted Philadelphia and thought, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is not to be believed. It's a huge river. It's a protected harbor. This is everything we could ever possibly have dreamed of. And us being Quakers, we're going to get rich. Because remember, we may call them Quakers, but they weren't a bunch of shrinking violets. Their God told them to go out and make some money.
They're still not. Man, I went to a Quaker school, man. They're good with the money. Look, they fool you. They dress all plain and shit because they got plain. Look, they're all comfortable.
They dress all plain and shit because they ain't spending money on clothes. They're socking it away.
And low stress level, they ain't worried about shit. Poor people are stressed out because they're fucking worried about how they're going to pay that bill.
wealthy people just don't give a fuck. No, no, Starbucks is closed. Oh, well. You know, so what? Right. So I'm sorry. I'm not trying to cut you off. But
no. I was just mad because I knew nothing. I still know next to nothing of the area. But wow. Just
yeah,
wow.
But see, right below the airport, you know, the Tennecum Park there, it's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. And it's spread, like you said, it's spread out. It's like, you know, placid. And it's nice because it's like the salt water and the fresh water still meet. So you get those interesting species in there, the waterfowl. You know, I think it's called the John Hines Preserve right there below the airport. Not think, I know it is. So, yeah, they do the best they can. Because, honestly, God, when I was growing up, it was disgusting. Like we'd go out to the river, you know, you have your little picnic there on the Schuylkill, sometime on the west side, sometime on the east side. And the river would smell like petroleum. And you know, sometimes you could just throw a match and light it on fire, like a little spot. You see a little slick, and, you know, that was the fun for the day. You know, hey, we look
not near as dangerous. Not near as dangerous as lighting farts.
Hey, well, hey, now you singeing hairs there.
Yeah, no need to go there.
Well, it is always fun. You remember the first time you learned how to do that? It's like I can't do this shit anymore. You have to have a hard chair. Well, never mind. I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, there may be you may be teaching children things they don't need to know.
But when you do, if you get your logistics correct, this shit's crazy. It really does. It's just like, oh, shit. Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah.
Why did you bring that up?
Well, you were talking about lighting things. I'm sorry. It's just.
But I was talking about water in a river. And then here you go to the farts.
Well, I mean, they're both hydrocarbons. So, you know. It's
all
just
right.
How my mind works. And Kyle, by the way, says, Bob, don't apologize. I'm pissed off because of this pipeline ruling, and I'm in the community that's affected positively by the civil rights ruling. Environmental justice and civil justice aren't mutually exclusive, or at least they shouldn't be. No, they actually intersect. But as Scott just pointed out, I guess to a certain extent, there was some talk last night on the PBS NewsHour. And Scott says they were discussing the fact that the LGBTQ civil rights decision yesterday was likely time to buffer some of the bad decisions on cases heard this session. Not all the rulings yet to be heard this month will be met with a lot of joy. Oh, I imagine there, you know, and the worst of the lot will happen right before they skedaddle. I mean,
yep, you
frankly,
see the timing of this shit.
Truth be told, they've already skedaddled. They ain't there.
They're already skedaddled. And then they're not addressing, you know, this is some worrisome. Everything is just all weird.
This isn't, you know, this isn't the Roberts Court. This is the Zoom Court.
It's the Zoom Court. And more power, look, more power to Kyle. I like what Kyle's saying. That's the truth. And Scott, man, look, I got a little cheat room in Chula Vista. And I'm telling you, got the boys over there. They're coming to fuck your ass up if you don't get that movie. You better get that movie, Scott. Because I know Chula Vista, and I speak Spanish, motherfucker. So.
Yeah, I learned me a little bit of fresh history, fresh old history yesterday.
What happened?
I learned about a dude named Juan de Oñate. Formerly Juan de Oñate Salazar. My Spanish sucks. My pronunciation is worse. 1550 to 1626. I mean, dude lived to be 76 years old, and he is referred to as the last conquistador.
Hmm.
And he went into the what we now know as the American Southwest, raised hell, slaughtered somewhere between 800 and 1,000 Acoma indigenous people. And was basically the terrorist that all the Spanish conquistadors were. Well, I was compelled to learn who Juan de Oñate was because yesterday a group of protesters in Albuquerque, maybe you saw this story,
They went to pull down Juan de Oñate's statue in Albuquerque. And a bunch of people who probably had absolutely nothing in common with Juan de Oñate threw a hissy, and lo and behold, the Civil Guard militia, you know, the usual suspects, a bunch of pasty-faced, doughy assholes with guns showed up. And as Dr. John informed me, the ABQ police seemed to have vacated the place minutes before the armed militia showed up, and the Albuquerque Police Department has a history of working with the militias. So all is basically normal in America. Except for the fact that one of those militia members, this time, did what so many have been yearning to do. He squeezed off a round into the body of an innocent person. Yeah, they started shooting over a statue of a genocidal terrorist.
Bob, you know something? I have to say this. Sometimes everything's a lie. I feel like we're thinking on the same. We got the same Feynman, you know, that metal network around something that's supposed to protect you or keep. I don't know. I think everything's connected anyway. I really do. It's just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have electricity. I understand what you're saying. And I want to apologize to Scott. Listen, man, I was just kidding, Scott. All I'm saying is that you never did watch the movie you were supposed to watch. So now
which movie? Which movie?
Lebowski.
Oh, he watched it. He just didn't watch it twice.
Did.
Yeah.
He didn't watch what?
He didn't watch it twice.
Oh, you can't watch it once. That's like not watching it.
There's no, and Scott's sitting there going, there's no winning with these people.
No, but I'm saying, I mean, come on. I'm not that bright. All right, I'm just a little above average. That's the type of movie you have to watch a few times, I would think. I don't know. That's me. Maybe I'm missing something. All I was going to say about that was that now he can move on to like Little Miss Sunshine and, you know, some other Alan Arkin, man, it's just a fucking mess. But so you don't. Oh, all right. Let me ask. Well, before I have to ask you something important, question.
Well, I got to go all back right. I got to go back to the New Mexico thing at some point.
Oh, okay. No, okay. Okay. Go ahead. Because we're running out of time.
So, dude, shot an anti-racism protester.
Right.
And he was. Regrettably, I'm sure, to the Albuquerque Police Department, taken into custody.
Why do you say it like that?
Well, I'm sure the Albuquerque Police Department hated having to arrest someone they considered a friend, because he was a former council. He was a former candidate for city council in Albuquerque.
Oh shit!
And he shot and critically injured a protester as they were trying to get rid of the La Jornada sculpture in front of the Albuquerque Museum last night. And it's a statue of Juan de Oñate. Stephen Ray Baca, 31, was booked into the Metropolitan Detention Center early Tuesday morning. I don't know if we... I don't know if they took him to Burger King or not. Booked into the Metropolitan Detention Center early Tuesday morning, charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon with a firearm enhancement. Police say 39-year-old Scott Williams was shot several times in the torso and is in critical but stable condition at University of New Mexico Hospital. In 2019, because you knew this had to be part of it too, Baca, the son of a former Bernalillo County Sheriff's deputy, ran on a platform that was critical of the current city leadership and existing federal settlement agreements that impose restrictions on law enforcement. He called local officials complete wimps when it comes to fighting crime. and he lost in the six-way race. But you know, but this is a Ginsu commercial. They all are. But wait, there's more. He showed up to a maggot rally and took a selfie of him wearing his MAGA hat and tweeted at Real Donald Trump, awesome time and a great rally. AWESOMENE. Awesome time and a great rally. So he's a real maggot. He wasn't just wearing the hat. He spells like one, too. And after Baca shot into the crowd and critically wounded an individual, the New Mexico Civil Guard surrounded him and protected him.
What? I'm not in favor of that.
And before that, he was running around shoving on women.
Oh, what? Oh, no, this guy, you're making this shit up. This is,
nope.
Oh, my God, you're making this shit
nope,
up.
Nope. 99 times out of 100, 999 times out of 1,000, 9,999 times out of 10,000, people who engage in shootings have also engaged in domestic violence or some form of violence against women. It is the you and I, we talk about Venn diagrams all the time. It is the same circle. It's pure overlap.
Man, you can't deny facts.
And so the ABQPD ran in to try to soften things up a little bit.
Damn it. That's
all hot. Over a statue of a genocidal maniac. Oh, and by the way, Darlene shared some information earlier.
Wait a minute. With that, come on. Which Darlene?
Darlene in Connecticut.
Okay. Okay.
Hi,
Darlene.
There was a press release today. The lawyer for the protester in Buffalo, Martin Gugino, 75 years old, whom the police department tried to get away with saying tripped and fell, and then it turned out there was video showing them shoving him.
Right.
We now know that he has a fractured skull because we all heard it crack when he hit the pavement. And he can't walk anymore.
Oh, shit.
And as Darlene said, what a disgrace. I hope he sues the Buffalo Police Department like there's no tomorrow. I do, too. And I don't know if it's possible for his lawyer to do this, but sue the fuckers. Sue the dirty, violent fuckers. And then say to the lawyer, no, my client doesn't want a check from Buffalo's insurance company. I want a check for every last damn dime out of the Buffalo Police Department pension fund. Write it from that. Otherwise, we go to trial. Write me $10 million out of the Buffalo Police Department's pension fund, or else we go to trial and we watch the video over and over and over again, and then we hand a pen to the foreman of the jury, and I get to say to them, listen, I can't tell you as a matter of law how much money to give my client. All I can tell you is to write the number one and then start writing zeros until your hand cramps. Take it out of the police's hide. Make them feel it.
Darlene is right.
Any objection?
Darlene is right about where the money should come from. Because I didn't know about it. I learned about it recently
or, I mean, it just makes sense if you connect the dots. When folks get killed by the police and they sue and then they settle out of court and they don't want to, you know, move forward and try to make some type of change and just get the money, you know what that does? All that does is make the city poor. Wherever you live, whatever municipality, community.
Well, the insurance company runs up the rates.
That's what the insurance is for.
That's why you said HIDE. Get it out of there where it hurts them.
Yeah.
See, that's brilliant. Yes. That's brilliant. And back to your
it reminds me of something, though. Long, long ago, before defund the police was ever even a slogan, I had a friend who, and I think I may have mentioned this last week, I had a friend who said, "Hey, God, if I'm ever governor, them fucking state police will be lucky to be riding pogo sticks." And that's what we're talking about.
Well, see, we're old enough to remember.
Cops will police each other if you stop letting their misdeeds, their evils, be taken care of without any consequences to them.
Yes. Right. They don't feel any pain. They feel they don't feel uncomfortable. They don't feel uncomfortable. And I really was not.
They will squeal when soundly struck in the wallet.
I've said it once before, and I got to say it again, so maybe other people will start to think about it. And I'm not saying this just because I'm contemplating and navel-gazing and skylarking or whatever. In a sociological academic sense, this is just, if you have the exam and you are asked a question, are the police a gang, you must answer yes. Otherwise, your response will be marked incorrect. They are, in fact, a gang. Now, you look at the folks around the George Floyd incident. Now, if you replace those folks with the white, like, in other words, when you grew up in the Northeast, you got the white tee people, right? You wear a white tee, you got a white beater on underneath, and it's a thick white T-shirt on top. It looks nice and crisp and white. I have a few, right? You wear baggy jeans, that's your fucking outfit, right? And they're always around the store, the deli, outside the apartment building. Some of them push dope, some of them don't. Some, you know, sometimes it's just a look. But when you see, they will rob a motherfucker. If they see somebody they don't know, they will rob your ass. They'll beat you up and take your shit, take your phone, take your watch, whatever. That's how those cops look, like corner boys. We'll be calling Philly the corner boy anywhere, New York, Philly. Corner boys. That's how they look, because they're a gang. And like I said before, they operate like a gang. That's why you got to understand. They hate that shit, but it's the fucking truth. A gang is a family. A family is a gang. It's an organization. You protect your own. Do you like to turn... If your child is stealing from you, do you want to turn them into the police? No. If your uncle molests a girl,
You handle it inside the family.
You handle it inside the
family. At least the small stuff you do. Sexual abuse, not so much.
Right. I know, that was probably a terrible example, but I'm just trying to make a point. Right. And you know, and this leads me into something I had been wanting to tell you about or talk to you about real quick. But then I got to say one, two things other that go back to the Southwestern incident with the shooting. You know, when we're dealing with these types of incidents, maybe I should just go back. I don't know. I don't want to get too far astray. Okay. So when you're talking about people's, how do you tell people that, in other words, we're running into, because last time we talked, we were talking about the lost cause issue.
Yeah,
and it's close to me because I'm here. I didn't grow up down here, but this shit is serious to these people. My neighbors, my friends. But you see,
It's and by the way, it's always instructive to take one of those folks and say, look, you do know you lost, right?
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
And then they make excuses. Well, I mean, yeah, but we killed more of y'all than y'all killed us. Or if Stonewall Jackson hadn't got killed at Chancellorsville, we probably would have won at Gettysburg.
Well, when you get through all of that, this is what it comes down to, and this is why people are upset on both sides. This is the argument that's been presented to me. And because of what I do now, I'm still a research assistant. I'm still a researcher, just in a different area. So, you see, the Daughters of the American Revolution and the Daughters of the Confederacy, and like you said the other night, they contracted to get these fucking preformed statues. There's nothing fucking special about that shit. That's like a Model T. You know, crank it off the line. There ain't nothing special about it. It's about what it means.
Yeah, especially the generic Confederate statues on courthouse lawns. It's all the same dude. Same droopy mustache, same musket with the bayonet, sitting there leaning on it. Same uniform. It's there was an industry in cranking those things out.
Yeah, the name Calder's sticking out. It could be it, could be not. I don't know. But so it's not that fucking special. Number one, like you said, let's start off with the basics. But anyway, these people, all right, they're worried about people defacing these monuments, and I'm like, well, okay, there's a reason people are upset, and they don't get it. And I'm like, well, maybe it shouldn't be on public property. And anyone was wanting to bring up Martin Luther King or some shit like that. I'm like, well, Martin Luther King wasn't a slave owner. And if you really want to get, let's get granular with this shit. Number one, they were traitors. Number two, they supported slavery. Number three, they lost. Number four, do you like rape? I mean, what do you understand what all this stuff represents? Do you like rape? You want to be raped? Would you sign up to be a slave? If not, then shut the fuck up. I mean, it's not personal. I'm just saying. And but this brings me back to my filter, which is always through social science. There's a personality called foreclosure, and a lot of fascists, Republicans, authoritarians, they fall into that. And all that means is that it's really easy. You just do whatever your parents did, whatever your grandparents did. You say, well, my daddy did it. It's good enough for me. I'm going to do what he did. You know, people, what is wrong with saying that your parents are wrong or your grandparents? You have to grow up at some fucking point. Your parents were not right about everything. Your grandfather wasn't right about everything. It's not that fucking complicated. Grow up. Grow the fuck up.
Yep. I agree.
Am I missing something here?
No. No, this is it. It's an immaturity thing. It's a delinquency thing. Yeah. By the way, you got a cowbell from Suman some time back.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a cowbell. Can we please award Todd a cowbell for everything is connected, otherwise we wouldn't have electricity. And I agree entirely with Suman on that. Meanwhile, Billable Rick says gave me a cowbell for they, the police, will squeal when soundly struck in the wallet. It's true. They hear only through, yeah. And Mark, whom we talked, Mark in Florida on the way to Georgia, maybe in Georgia by now, Mark said it was a 5-round burst in New Mexico. Jesus.
See, these people are getting upset.
Yeah, and by the way, John points out the ABQ police called the Y'all-Qaeda tards friendlies. And Kyle notes, God damn it, I hate these fucking thugs with badges. Fucking terrorists. Well, yeah. It's hard to argue.
Them enough.
Yeah, not all cops, but, whatever.
See, there's two. All right, two things, and hopefully you can get to somebody else in a second. But there's two things. You see, this is very important. It's about bias. And, you know, most folk, if you just go through life, we're inherently biased. Humans are. You know, if you listen to enough radio, you hear the people talk, blah, blah, blah. We know that. But it really means something in that it takes an exceptional person with training not to take their baggage to work. And I've even said to you, I'm like, well, you know, it's okay. On paper, you can be a Klansman and still be a cop because that's your job and that's your, you know, your professional self and your personal self. However, very few people are able to achieve that. They don't have the training. But, you know, and there are certain professions where you continually have to go to workshops and you have to be drilled and because reminded. Okay, like your doctor, your therapist, you know, different areas. And you can't expect much from regular people. They just don't get it. They don't understand what bias is. They don't even want to hear it. Now they're all shut down. They don't want to hear it. No, I had to ask someone to leave at work the other day. This person came in and she said, "I hate these masks. I don't like them." I said, "Oh, I guess you don't read the news." She said, "I don't believe the stuff in the paper." I said, "Oh, I can't do anything with that." And I moved on.
Yeah, because she's believing. She's believing.
Man, these people are
not interested in any facts. She's interested in what she believes.
They're going to kill us.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls,
your epilogue,
a flower grows.
It's so true. When you see them coming, get out of the way. They think it's funny. They think this shit is funny. It's not funny, man. You look at these numbers. It is not funny, and we don't know enough about this virus.
Well, you want some numbers? I got some numbers. today, Florida, Texas, and Arizona all set them some records. Yeehaw! We're number one! Florida reported a record 2,783 new cases of the Rona. Texas reported a record 2,622 cases of the Rona. Arizona reported a record 2,392 new cases of the Rona.
Damn. What do you got to multiply those numbers by at least five? They say two, but, you know, these people are just nasty and don't give a fuck.
And so, you know, it's spreading. Let's run over to one of my favorite websites lately, COVID Act Now, and let's see what their retransmission number is. Let's look at Arizona.
Are you going to do that for us?
Yeah, the infection cases are rapidly infections are rapidly increasing in Arizona. Their R number is 1.22. That means everybody who gets it is spreading it to 1.2 people.
Mm-hmm.
They are at present consuming 66% of their ICU headroom. They have contact traced 2% of their cases.
2%.
This is what happens when you've got a maggot governor. And testing in Arizona is so limited, they've got a 15.4% positive test rate, which means that they're not testing worth
15.4.
Not testing worth a shit.
Okay. This is real trouble here. This is real. See the numbers you
and see. And I started out the program talking about how Nitwit Nero's all on fire to go have him a maggot rally in Mobile.
Man, and I heard what you said, and that's the truth. But see, I think I'm not. You know, I think many times I can be maybe misinterpreted as being very callous. I'm not. I'm really not. But what I'm saying is that I'm not as concerned with the deaths anymore. The deaths are going to happen anyway. It's like with police brutality and abuse.
they might not kill you, but they're going to the shit they do you will make you bleed out. So you may not have the deaths, but what happens? People are losing organs. This shit, I'm telling you, I swear to God, I had this shit. And it is pernicious. And pernicious is an interesting word. And it's like I heard a medical professional who's recovering from this, and I say recovering because it malingers. This shit malingers. You don't know what kind of day you're going to have. This shit will, out of nowhere, you start popping sweat, you get dizzy, you can't think straight. It's pernicious. It's almost like a spirochete in a way, short term. It goes dormant, and it waits for your immune system to go down just enough so it can jump in. This is some fucking crazy shit. This is not.
There's a logical and rational and reasonable outcome to all of this.
What?
Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Arizona, all these godforsaken maggot states. And my apologies to the decent people in each and every one of those states, because I know they are there. But you are not able to affect public policy. Their response, this is what I mean, and Lou was asking me about this a while back, so maybe this is a good time to touch on it.
Oh, you're about to curse somebody. Go ahead, man.
No, this is what I mean when I say that the maggots and the Trump administration have weaponized this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Because thanks to the maggot states, we're going to have a re-explosion of the disease that we could have stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And we will eventually get to, and it is horrifying to even ponder, we will get to a point where at least 70% of the population of the United States will become infected. And if that's not sobering, I don't know what the hell is.
Well, but that's what a portion of the policymakers want. That they're saying, okay, we want herd immunity, or we're gonna, either way, we're gonna get it, but we want to slow it down so everybody doesn't get it at the same time. But we can't sustain this.
Well, that R number, that reinfection, that infection rate number, not reinfection, that infection rate number.
Right, the R.
Is really important, because even at 1.0, that means every person who gets it is spreading it to another person.
Right.
Only when you drop that R number below 1 does it mean that the infection is backing, the pandemic is receding. Texas overall is at 1.1.
Right. Yeah, but meanwhile, our behavior in terms of our mobility, what we're doing, is moving against what would prevent it. In other words, we already knew the only way to slow this thing down is to stay home and just go out when you have to, get your food, and go to fuck home, and no parties, none of that shit. And it slowed down. I mean, it's as simple as that.
And it's like it's like the article I saw today where the public health official in Tulsa was saying, please, 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 for fuck's sake, please, don't hold this rally here, Donald Trump.
I don't give a fuck about you.
I mean, we've got a member of the House of Representatives, okay, who tested positive and refused to wear a mask in the House of Representatives and claims didn't need to.
In Jim Justice's state, in your state?
No. This is in the United States House of Representatives.
That fucker, where is he from?
I saw it and moved on. Can't remember the state. Gigantic asshole. His wife had it. His kid had it. He said, my kid had a tough time with it, but it didn't really bother me any.
And so he was hot with it, breathing all over the United States House of Representatives when they briefly came in May. You know, because the maggots were squealing, "We're going to get back to work."
Well, right, to state the obvious, you see, this has become politicized. And you asked me a few weeks ago about how it was going here, and I kind of had a nebulous answer. It wasn't clear to me because I was hunkered down. I'd gotten things for people. I was staying around. I was not going out. Only the, working back, boom, 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 that's it, which I'm still trying to do. But you see, now this opened up shit with our governor. I'm not going to use any disparaging terms.
McGovernor. Just do what they call him McGovernor.
McGovernor. Yes. That's perfect.
That's MCUG. That's MCGUBNUH. McGovernor.
With McGovernor, because that says it all, doesn't it? McGovernor, right. Right. Thank you. That's what your words meant.
Oh, and the dickhead, right. The dickhead was Tom Rice from South Carolina District 7.
Oh, shit. Okay. See? I'm telling you, man.
And see, and all of this shit has a downstream effect. I know somebody here in this county that I've had occasion to come into contact with, not socially, but in a business setting. And this individual is all excited because I guess this week or next, this individual's family is going on doing what West Virginians do. Going on vacation to Myrtle Beach.
Oh, boy.
All kinds of excited. Been saving up money, got all kinds of vacation money, going to get a tattoo down there. All of it.
Got it all planned out, huh?
And going to come back here and bring some Rona back home. Because Myrtle Beach is filthy.
It, Corey Kent, listen, these numbers, and you know where else is blowing up? Here in South Carolina, and it started. Well, first of all, this is like common sense. The governor lied. He said he was going to follow the data. Now we have a very great, our state epidemiologist, Dr. Bell, she's wonderful. The governor promised he would follow her lead. Then business got to take over Cal State, and all these people can't be collecting no check, all that bullshit, instead of paying people to stay home so we can stay safe. So now we're open and everybody's sick. And she was like, "I am so distraught." And she said that publicly. So I don't know how long she's going to be around.
Well, that means Nazis, if Ohio's any indication, that means Nazis and Klansmen will be marching in front of her house.
Well, yeah, you got it. Ohio, West Virginia, Western Pennsylvania, Montreal, they all come to got their places in Myrtle Beach. But wait a minute, they've been closing places, these restaurants, like places I go to, in North Myrtle Beach. They got COVID positive because they opened up too soon. They had to close because their workers are COVID positive. So the best bar, the Irish bar right on Main Street in North Myrtle Beach, that's closed. That's the premier bar there. And it's funny because a lot of the retired cops, that's their big hangout is in North Myrtle Beach. I only know that because I would go hang out and, feel people looking at me funny. You talk to them and figure out, oh, okay, so this is the cop hangout, because they got have good pensions or whatever. This should be a good place. But people aren't paying attention. I don't know. No, I do know. I do know, and this is what I want to say beyond the monument thing. People need to admit it's not so. It has nothing to do with you individually, you whoever. Your ancestors weren't right about everything. Just say they. I mean, my God, they were traitors and they were wrong. It's really that simple. It has no reflection on you. I mean, you might be living off of that money, some of you, and, nothing we can do about that. If you want to donate, fine. But, just be clear about what is going on. These people are not being clear.
and it's going to take some type of breakthrough. They're going to have to. I don't know. They don't have to do shit. They can continue to be blinded by the light. I don't know. But this persistence is. I heard a stat today, and it's frightening. Now, I'm feeling somewhat invigorated this morning. I was this morning. Now I'm starting to tail off a little bit. But I had my bleach injection, and now I sent my little nursemaid out to get my my pine saw syringe so that I'll be able to get my nightly injection, and I'll feel invigorated for tomorrow.
Yeah, I thought I'd have a little Mr. Clean and Clorox cocktail before bed.
Oh, you want to do the full Monty on that, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a mixologist, right? Yeah. Oh, and by the way, this is kind of a personal warning to you from David, your neighbor. He said the I-85-95 corridors are the next hot spots through South Carolina. That's close, and I know it is.
He's right. Think about it.
All you know, so they'll be getting off at the Rippy Mart, and going in and getting them Coca-Cola, and pumping some gas, and LARPing and smolicking all over the store, and spewing their virus particles, and ain't gonna wear no mask because Trump don't wear no mask, and if it's gonna get me, it's gonna get me.
Well, that's the other thing I'm hearing. Remember, I've had to kick people out of where I work, and because I can and I do. I'm like, I don't care about your politics. And I want to say, it's not my fault you're that stupid. I said, but do you not see this is an enclosed area? We're inside. Inside. I don't care if you don't like to wear a mask. You don't have to be here.
I do.
Please. I do. And I'm wearing a mask to protect you. And you're wearing a mask to protect me. And it gets complicated because if you have a molded, you know, N95 mask, it might work both ways. Most people don't have that, and then they don't fit right. So it's no point in even talking about that because people get confused. But it's just, stop it. These people need to stop with this. Ignorant, you know what? Ignorant people are dangerous. That's what it comes down to. These motherfuckers.
Ignorance is deadly, Todd. And unfortunately, we've come to the end of the program, but before you go, I got a little audio for us to go out with. The latest ad from the Lincoln Project.
Oh yes.
It's video intensive because it involves Watergate. You know, his goofy gait going down the ramp, along with his inability to hold a glass of water with one hand without shaking all the water out of the glass.
Something's wrong with Donald Trump. He's shaky, weak, trouble speaking. Trouble walking. So why aren't we talking about this? And why isn't the press covering Trump's secretive midnight run to Walter Reed Medical Center? Why do so many reporters who cover the White House pretend they can't see Trump's decline? The most powerful office in the world needs more than a weak, unfit, shaky president. Trump doesn't have the strength to lead, nor the character to admit it. We're not doctors, but we're not blind. It's time we talk about this. Trump is not well.
Powerful stuff. Thank you to Ralphs for sending that along.
Yeah, that sounds like a murky, you know.
But again, we've been asking these questions for over a year. Why are they so late to the fucking party? I mean, sure, goon on the for-profit media, but where?
Over a year, you're being like nice about that. I mean, come on. I know your program's over. Just let me just two things to all your relatives, anybody who has relatives who are still in the weirdo camp. Just ask them a couple of questions, three questions. When have you ever heard a person of stature, in charge, a leader, say, "I'm a stable genius"?
I'll take never for I'll take what is never. Alex?
For 200. All right. Then, ask who believes?
Who believes the people willing to believe? The people who want to believe, the people who need to believe.
Well,
subject line Lincoln Project, Darlene in Connecticut says, I'm telling you, Bob, they're copying you word for word. They're listening to your program.
Well, good. Well, that's not good, but it is good. I've noticed that sometimes. I don't know, man, about the morning. I don't know. Some of those producers on Morning Jerry listen to you. Yeah. All right. So the other thing about the percentages. Now, on NPR today, and I've heard this before, but they brought it up again today. Apparently, around 39% of people, there was a poll, and I didn't get, I really don't have the margin of error. I wish I did. I hate talking about it without that, but, you know, it just lines up. 39% of people in this poll said they had been using, you know,
yes.
Household cleaner.
Yes, yes. We talked about that. Yes. It's the same number of people who support Donald Trump.
My fucking God. So, once again, it's not just this individual. What are we going to do with these people?
Well, we're doing it again. We're running over time, but I'm looking at a story right here. Up in Michigan, they've got a protest scheduled for this coming Friday, and Republicans are going to burn their absentee ballot applications.
Oh.
I know. It's one of those things where you go, boop, nope. Just
all right.
Makes you want to hoot like a barn owl. The Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, she's trying to take away their MAGA freedom by making them vote absentee ballot. Because only
none of it doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense.
Because you ain't free if you ain't going down to the polling place. It's called the Recall and Revolution, and they're going to pass around the recall petition for Governor Gretchen Whitmer. But they are going to burn their own absentee ballot applications.
I'm still trying to get that. I had to slow down to even process that because I was like, okay, so I'm going to shoot my feet off because I like to walk. So I'm going to shoot my feet off. You know, come on, you might need that. I mean, so I know you're going, this is the social precipitate of not funding our education system, you know, and going along and letting things just slide, let them slide, let them slide. And now you have people who just will not. There's too many outlets now. People are not just believing or paying attention to folks that used to be revered. I mean, it's not about making someone feel bad. No one's trying to make anybody feel bad because you work with your hands and maybe you don't understand everything. It's not about that. But at some point, maybe listen to people who kind of might know a little bit more than you do. And just for the general safety of everyone. And it's not about making you feel bad. Not you, Bob, but just...
No, I get it.
And this argument, and this is totally different, but this argument about, you know, the black-on-black crime. Listen, most white people are killed by white people. Most black people are killed by black people. Most crime is perpetrated against or around people that are close. That's been the same since people have been keeping statistics.
Most rape victims know their most rape victims know their rapist.
It's that simple. So this nonsense needs to stop. There are no roving black hordes. You know that's see, white people got to
new
get
Black
over
Panther Party.
That
new Black Panther
up.
Party. I seen it. Me and Marvelline done seen it. We done seen it on the Fox and the Onan. The new Black Panther Party.
This is what I'm feeling in rural. I live in the rural, like edge of the woods, south, deep south. And what the white folks are scared that the natives are getting restless again, and something's going to happen. And you know, and most black people think, well, you know, maybe because you think you're going to, you know, get what you did to us, and we're not concerned with that. We just want to be left alone and to do what we need to do to succeed in this country and stop being shit on. And the fact that they don't understand to have these offensive monuments in city squares where public tax money goes, you know, you guys paid for that. It should be in someone's yard in a private museum. We're not disrespecting your past, but your people were wrong. And they were wrong.
Plain and simple. Sure.
Okay. I'm not.
We're just gonna close out with a couple more things. Clayton County, Georgia, because the goddess of irony can't let anything alone. You know, Clayton County, Georgia, is the county that lost the LGBTQ civil rights decision yesterday. Apparently, it made people unhappy. Because yesterday, the same day the decision was announced, a cop in Clayton County, Georgia, pulled his gun on five black teenagers between 13 and 15 years of age because they walked through a neighborhood cut to the store. Because they were walking on grass. They took the shortcut. And in the video, you can see six children standing with their hands up while cops give them commands. Five of the six were black.
Okay. You have to let me respond to this. And this is part of the problem. And I've noticed this. I never noticed it before I lived here. For some motherfucking reason, there's a large percentage of white people who think that just because they're white, and you're black and you're on the street, they have no idea what your station in life is. They don't know shit about you. But if they ask you a question, you're supposed to answer. We have not evolved. You don't have to say shit to anybody. Fuck them. You don't have to say shit. And if it gets them pissed off, too bad. You know, and this goes back to like what he commands. This is why I brought it up. Your command. What are you commanding me to do? You know, just like in Atlanta. That's a summary offense. That was a summary offense. They had that man's information. Even if they didn't, it didn't matter. And I only heard one person make a mention. It might have been Eddie Glaude. And I'm surprised it came from him. But this is important. Most police, when they discharge you, there's stats on this. Any handguns are inherently, it's difficult. You got to be a really good marksman to hit shit with a handgun, unless you're really close. It's hard.
Well,
they're
close quarters weapons. You know, a handgun is to range as a dagger is. You got to be in close.
That's a wonder. I love that. That's perfect. That is perfect for what I'm about to say. Look at where he was. That could have been my family with my little kid, my cousins, my friend, my girlfriend, her kids, whatever, in the car. You miss more than you hit. Even if you're a professional, you miss. It's at night. You know what happens with a bullet when it bounces off the concrete or the asphalt?
Goes all over the place.
And then they're going to want to blame the quote-unquote perpetrator for not stopping, not complying. See, we got to understand, the whole reason, a big reason we had police, it was all about slave catching. It wasn't about nothing else but keeping Negroes in their place. And unfortunately, it appears that we have not evolved too much beyond that. And until we really have that honest discussion, because apparently motherfuckers don't understand that shit. That's just simple American history. So anyway, I'm not no angry Negro. I just like the truth, and I like history. You know what I'm saying?
Well, history will lead you to the truth. That's the thing. We're talking about this goes all the way back to one of the last projects Dr. Bill did while he was still, you know, before he retired. And that was a desperate attempt to teach teachers how to teach history.
Mm.
Because we are a nation of very nearly historical illiterates. And by the way, answering your question earlier, Billable Rick says, Todd asks, what are we going to do with these people, referring to the 39% of people surveyed who claim they're using disinfectants to prevent catching COVID? My answer is simple. Nature's going to take the lives of those people who are too stupid to know that ingesting cleansers is harmful to one's life. Darwin's law of unnatural self-selection will take care of those fools, which are Trump's natural constituency. Which leads to one last story. The cop union, a couple of cop unions, because apparently there's lots of cop unions among the NYPD. Three cops went to Shake Shack somewhere in southern Manhattan last night and cruised in for milkshakes. I've never been to Shake Shack. I can't speak one way or the other as the quality of their shakes. But then they got sick. And before anything could be done, tested, said, what have you, there was the cop unions braying all over social media. Goddamned anti-cop workers at Shake Shack done poisoned some of our hard-working police detectives. There's only one problem.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't poisoned. Whatever made them sick, and it didn't make them very sick because they're all fine now, the New York City Police Department later released a statement saying, no, they weren't poisoned. There was nothing deliberate in this. It did not happen the way the cop unions said it happened. You know, we talk about defund the police, and anybody who has two brain cells rubbed together doesn't mean we're going to shut down every police department in the country. It's not what that means.
We need a lunch. Somebody needs to tell people to stop saying that shit. Say, I know it doesn't sound good. Redistribute.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm all for defund the cop unions.
That, sure.
You know, the cop unions are the ones who strong-armed the members of the Emergency Response Task Force in Buffalo to make them quit the task force. Because, as the mayor pointed out, the cop union said, we will not have your back unless you walk out because those officers have been charged. So they did as they were told. I said earlier that Martin Gugino's compensation should come out of the pension fund. Uh-uh. No, I've reconsidered that in this short amount of time. The compensation for Martin Gugino should come out of the fucking cop union in Buffalo.
Keep it local.
Make it specific.
That sends a message.
Break them. Break them. Bust them down to the ground.
But you know, I think there's a good side and a bad side to this. They are really, in general, I didn't bring this up. I didn't even come in here talking about the cop killings. I really didn't, because it's just so obvious and disgusting. I mean, what else can you say? However, they are doubling the fuck down, and they feel butthurt. I'm like, what the fuck are you people thinking about? This is the fucking problem.
Well, the problem is you never hear of cop unions unless they're out there saying something stupid, mean, or outrageous. Because apparently that's their job. Yeah.
We don't need cops the way they are now. We just don't. The way policing is now, we don't.
Look at what Camden, New Jersey did. One of the most violent cities in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they disbanded their entire, they fired every cop on the force,
established new standards, and anybody who wanted to come back onto the force had to pass those standards and go through new training, and now it's a safe city. Curiously enough, the violence went down when the cops got reformed. Go figure.
So a little correlation there, huh?
Well, you know, correlation is not causation, but it sure smells more causation than correlation, doesn't it? Todd, I got to get out of here, man.
Hey, take care. Thank you so much.
Oh, great call. Great conversation. Always is. Later.
All right.
Bye now. That's our buddy Todd. And, man, we were all over the place. It's the key to great conversation, being able to keep the flow going and bounce around and see where the conversation takes you. Billable Rick has awarded a cowbell for the great conversation today with Todd. Thank you, Billable Rick. And so we'll wrap up the program with $25 to go to finish yesterday's fundraising. And if we could knock that down, then we'll go into tomorrow, prayer meeting Wednesday, with a $400 fundraising goal. So thanks to everybody who helped us get as far as we did. Thank you so very much indeed. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air by your PayPal subscriptions, your Patreon subscriptions, and by your a la carte contributions and combinations of all of the above. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Man, what I've been saying seems to get more true every day at the end of this program. And that is, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your mask, wear your gloves, and based on this, I mean, just check this out. At the Greystone Baptist Church in Greenbrier County, West Virginia, the pastor thereof, a guy named Yule Altizer, a week ago posted the following. China spread the disease. Democrats spread the lies. Media spread the panic. They crashed the economy, all to destroy our president. Remember in November. Well, Greystone Baptist Church pastor Yule Altizer's Greystone Baptist Church, as of last night, has 28 positive COVID-19 cases and more in the offing. So when I say, if you see someone in a red hat or with a Trump shirt or a Trump flag or a Trump sticker on their car coming toward you, avoid them like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.